Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com. Secondary studio, have not been in here since Dad passed away in February. Matter of fact, I probably haven't been in here since probably about December. So it's been quite a few months. We basically, I just had mothballed everything, and everything was dusty, and I spent the day very slowly moving around because my back has been out. And so I was stacking things in the back of a trailer connected to our tractor, and I had that all set to get out of here. And changing this around to be the Ghostwriter Investigations Paranormal Studio, so we'll be able to do our evidence analysis with multiple team members in here. And I am, I got to put Nancy on. I put her on. I muffled Nancy. Nancy is my co-host. Nancy, Mom.
Yes, I am.
Hi, my dear.
Hello.
But yeah, I've been doing. It was weird. All the clocks had died, so the batteries were all amped out. I've got this crazy clock from Oregon Scientific, a great little company. They make these really neat wireless weather stations. And this crazy thing is sitting there telling me, here in August, it's showing rain clouds. And I'm looking outside, and it ain't raining. It was really hot today, but right now, outer temperature 75.6 degrees on the external sensor, 83.3 out here inside the house. So I've got the fan blowing and no air conditioner running. So it'll cool down a bit. Let's see, a big week for us. I, yours truly, was on TV. I was on Sci-Fi. I was on Haunted Highway, and got the chance to present some evidence that we had from one of our really neat cases. It was an early case in 2008 at Pioneer Cemetery, and I caught the sound of a little kid coming through, and it was one of the best EVPs we've ever picked up. And it was funny. I didn't realize what would happen with this EVP, and we talked about it a little bit with other members, and Christine, my dear friend Christine, who lives out in Ohio now, and she has her own media and paranormal group and all the things she does, same kind of stuff I do, she ended up getting contacted by the folks from Sci-Fi. And she referred them on to me and told them about the CBP. And it wasn't the first show that had actually shopped this whole thing about this particular EVP. I'd had another show that I won't say the name of that had come in, and they said it wasn't good enough. And when I played it for Sci-Fi, it was plenty good enough. Best work of my life, you know. And that came out on the air, and I had the chance to keep a promise to this little kid, because after that had happened, I went back to the cemetery in January of 2009. This was caught in December of 2008, the EVP. And I told this kid that I would find a way to let the world know that he was cared about and that his message to his mother would get out there. And, you know, fate worked its in its mysterious ways. I mean, it did happen. The child did get his chance in the spotlight. You know, that was really for him. So I was really pleased with it. What was so nice about dealing with the staff, you know, from Sci-Fi, you know, they had it was really an interesting thing to see how the camera work and the sound and the crew and all that did their thing. And the two hosts were just awesome. Am I fading out?
No.
Nancy? Okay, audio going in and out. All right, I'll not much I can do about that, guys. Is it only Jeannie and see, Nancy's on the line. Tim, can you hear me good too? You know, I got a fan in the background. Tim, it must
be. That
might be
it. Might be it.
Well, I've got it. Just it's not causing, because I'm in front of the microphone, so it's not. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and just see about maybe it could be something wrong with Skype. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to make a quick change here. I'll go ahead and I'm going to just hang up on Skype here. I'll go ahead and play some music, give everybody a break, and then we'll come right back, and we'll try that. Let's see, because we've got people. So we'll be right back. This is SoulStream with technical difficulties here. Let's see if we can find something that's worth playing here. We'll do this.
Live from the haunted Kingdom of Gold and broadcasting from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghostwriter Paranormal Radio.
Frying pan.
You know, one of these days when I do get out your way and hook up and hang out with you over in the Bay Area, my dear, you will have to bring the frying pan.
Okay.
That was
you
all you're going to say. Okay. It's so California.
Okay. But
okay.
You will have to duck.
Watch. I hope I'm sounding better to everybody. I went ahead and did the Skype reset type technology thing and did that to see what we would get. And again, you know, a little technical difficulties probably are in order when you're running your equipment for the first time in a new studio. So effectively a new studio right now, kind of getting used to where everything's at. And I did have a couple of the pots a little too high, and two others that were kind of not doing what they were supposed to. So I'm playing around with the board here, making sure, because I have three studios. I have a mobile setup, and then I've got the primary studio, which is not where I'm at right now. I'm in my alternate. And, these things happen. Anyway, so I hope, guys, that you're hearing me a little better. I hope the folks in the chat room can let me know that they're out there using the link. Yes, I see that, Nancy.
Thank you.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, I turned the fan off. That might have had something to do with it. My comfort can be sacrificed. I can do this.
Well,
anyway, we were talking about some of the stuff that went on with our good friends at Haunted Highway, and a lot of people have, there's a lot of strong emotions about that show. Some people think that this stuff is fake. They don't fake. They do a lot of interesting things. And they have a very well-equipped group. They've got all the latest stuff. They're almost as well-equipped as Tim out there, Tim Zoll.
Yeah.
So almost, but not quite. But they went out and did their thing out there in the cemetery and caught some really interesting evidence at the spot where I picked up on the little boy. And they caught a very interesting capture on the IR camera. And picked up what appeared to be a humanoid shape right in about the area where we've had our own encounters in the past. And so it was really interesting. And then they caught an EVP that sounded very similar to the little boy. They caught laughing. And I was just absolutely thrilled when I heard that. It just totally did the trick for me. I mean, it was great to see that, our evidence actually got from an independent team completely confirmed, because it sounded so similar. And I'm going to try to get them to give me an original copy of that if I can. Otherwise, I'm going to extract it from the show and then try to do a comparison. But for those of you, I don't know, do you guys actually want to hear that EVP? I mean, I don't know have you ever heard this one before?
I haven't, so I think you should just go ahead and play the EVP for us.
Okay, I'm going to play this off of my website, and let me see. It's about 30 seconds long, but I'm going to go ahead and I think I've got it partially going here. What you're going to hear, I'll turn the sound down. You'll hear me in the background talking and some road noise and things like that, and then you'll hear this kid come on, and it's unmistakable. Here we go.
This person died in 1861. I'm guessing the plan is
And did you hear that, Nancy?
I couldn't hear it.
Did you hear any noise at all?
I thought I heard a whisper.
Okay.
Is the kid talking like in a whisper?
Let me do this. I'll open up in I'm going to open up in a new thing here. Let me see if I can pull this open. And I'll just do a new. I'll do this in Audacity because it's a little better. I didn't upload it to the normal location. And let me see if I can do a little magic here.
Did anybody else in the chat room hear it?
Okay, I got it here. And let's see if anybody in the chat room picked up on that. Let's see if I've got it here. Can you hear that, the background noise there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to find the section with the boy's voice. Okay, I'm right there. And I'll just put it in kind of a repeat play. And what he's saying is, did you hear that, the sound of the little boy?
I thought I did. What is he saying?
He says, "Mama got me a little one, a stone. It's under the last tree over there." And that's exactly what he's saying. And I'll give you guys a link to my website so you can pull this down for yourself and take a listen to it. Because it's just, it's one of the best pieces of evidence we've ever picked up. So if you want to grab this, and there's a download link on the page. So I'll just go paste this in the chat.
Okay.
And that was the whole reason we ended up on that show. Plus the fact that I'm probably the only regular paranormal investigator in the county so far that I know of. doing work in and around Placerville the way I'm doing. So there's another group that is up that way, but he, from what I can tell, Rob hasn't been doing much these days. So I'm pretty much it. And so they called me, and then they had another lady, Nancy Bradley, who's a local author, on. And between the two of us, she had some history that I didn't have, and gave a pretty good accounting of some of the things that she had seen and dealt with there, and knew some of the history that I didn't. So it was really educational for everybody. But, you know, the whole thing with these shows is, you know, you really if you don't know what you're getting into, you better, you know, talk to a lot of other people who are into this, because doing television appearances is a nerve-wracking process. I was a basket case going into this, but it, you know, they made me comfortable and I really enjoyed it. A lot of neat stuff happened, and we were right in the middle of all our kind of our comeback moments with GRI since Dad passed away. So a lot of things have been happening since. You know, we've done several investigations. I did upload a few EVPs from since we got. I don't have a lot of callers in tonight for the mediumship stuff, so it's one of those nights. So we're just gonna wing it, like we always do in these moments. And yep. I've got some EVPs here. I'm glad I kind of put this ahead because I just I wonder what it is. I think everybody's on vacation. I think that's what's happening. So what we've got here, I've got some EVPs from Truckee, from the Truckee Hotel. We were there in May, and on the GRI channel, I've got actual video that our crew picked up of a woman pounding on the door and screaming at us. And we've also got screaming in the hall, so we picked up as EVP. And it wasn't just normal EVP. We picked up these screams that were basically on the camera audio. So, it was, I've been noticing, and Tim, I don't know if you want to chime in on this, but we've been noticing in our investigation work that we're getting a lot more EVP on camera audio. And I'm starting to kind of really more exclusively look for the EVP there than I am just on the regular strict EVP recorders. So, yeah. I recommend to people, definitely check your camera audio when you're, you know, doing paranormal investigation. It seems like, you know, these things are getting picked up more and more. And I don't know if it's something to do with the way the electronics are being manufactured, or if it's something to do with the other side has figured out how to better impact the camera audio. If there's a reason for that, I don't know. I mean, it's a complete mystery, but we've, you know, I broke away from this about the time Dad got really sick. And, you know, I'd been putting a lot of money in fairly expensive, you know, EVP recorders. And then here I am with standard Sony cameras, which I thought were really not up to the task of doing EVP. And I'm pulling all this stuff in. So I'll go ahead and play this. This one is from the fourth floor of the Truckee Hotel in room 401. And I was not the one that did the recording. It was my camera. And there was a gal named Debbie who was doing a pretty good job with our camera. And, you know, Tim says, I get a different EVP on camera audio at the same time. Yeah, that's another thing, too, is, you know, that's a very common phenomenon. You'll get EVPs that are different from device to device, even though they're in the same room. And Nancy says audio works better on camera because you can read the lips. EPM got to me. I probably shouldn't have read that, but
that's okay.
Can you read those lips? Yeah, okay. Can talk louder. Mouth the words. I can see the ghosts going, oh crap.
Anyway.
Hi. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and play this, and let's just see what you guys think of this. And then, again, if you do want readings tonight or you want to talk about anything, we're going to kind of throw things open. If Tim wants to happen to call in and chat about his cases, who knows? We could have anybody else wants to call in and share their stuff about things that they're doing, or have any questions about paranormal work or mediumship or whatever, just call in. Number 646-478-0377. All right, we're going to go ahead and play this EVP, and I'll do it several times and watch the chat room to see what you guys think. Here we go.
And to the man, we're going to bring some alcohol down to room 219 later tonight.
Are you trying to protect the little girl? If you're trying to protect the little girl, can you give us a sign?
Are you trying to hurt the little girl? Were you the man that killed the little girl?
Okay, now that was just at the end. You hear this woman pounding on the, literally pounding on the door. I don't know if you guys picked up on that. And since they've changed the control boards here on our software, it's not like the old days where I used to say 100%, 200%, 300%. Yeah, it really is some neat stuff. I'm going to go ahead and play it again, and you guys will hear this. It's really extraordinary, and there's one that's even more disturbing. We'll play after this one. I'll just play this one more time.
And to the man, we're going to bring some alcohol down to room 219 later tonight.
Are you trying to protect the little girl? If you're trying to protect the little girl, can you give us a sign?
Are you trying to hurt the little girl? Were you the man that killed the little girl?
Now, what's really interesting is the hotel was completely empty. We were in the middle of a renovation. We got in at just the right time. The hotel was going through probably once every 10 to 15 year renovation. So they had ripped out all the carpeting. They had just torn the rooms to shreds and were starting over again on everything. And this is in one of the most haunted hotels, pretty much within 200 miles of us. I mean, this place is just chock-a-block full of activity, even on a normal day. And we had the whole place to ourselves. We got to stay there for free. The owners were really wanting to know what they really had, and it was a golden opportunity. Never have had it where we've been able to go into such a interesting place during renovation. And believe me, it was stirred up. We walked out of there with our jaws dropping because we had the full. You know, I had a growl in room 315. Actually, it sounded. You know, if you go look at the video out on the YouTube channel, I mean, we were being growled at. We had, the screams. We had some really interesting stuff on the PSB 7, which was, a spirit box. It was just, we're hearing, there was a little girl, Laura, that was talking that we were getting in there too. And we, and she said prior to this EVP, she says, "I'm back." And so just neat stuff. Let me give you the, let me see if I've got this here. Do I have the scream? I don't know if I got it to upload. Here it is, Screams Fourth Floor. So we'll go ahead. And now what happened was the ladies doing a recording, same session, same camera, Sony, standard Sony night vision camera, came out and went down the hall and kicked a ball that they had for this little girl who was killed on the fourth floor by a gentleman up there early in the 20th century. I mean, this is a 150-plus-year-old hotel. And what we got was just remarkable. So let me see if you guys hear this. And I think it's early on in the recording. Here we go.
Did that ball? I did. Just rolled by itself?
No, I kicked it.
Oh.
Do you want to play ball?
Okay, now one of the things we had happen, Laura, you guys heard that. I'm going to play it again, and then I'll tell you a little back of the background. Here we go again. And I've kicked the volume up quite a bit on this.
Did that ball?
I did.
just rolled by itself?
No, I kicked it.
Oh.
Do you want to play ball?
Yeah, you guys probably heard that. Do you hear that whistling noise?
We were
getting that only on the fourth floor. We checked with the hotel management and afterwards and said, we're hearing this noise. And there was none of the equipment, none of the hot water was running up there. Nothing was running that could explain that. And we were thinking it was the pipes. But it seemed to precede these EVPs of this remarkable quality we were getting. It was like something was kicking in from the other side, and it made this kind of screaming noise. And we're hearing it with our own ears, and then you would get the EVPs. And yeah, and you were hearing it, Laura, exactly, screaming and wailing in pain. This hotel had a real history with violence to women. And matter of fact, I have a personal connection with the hotel because a relative of mine who is still alive was shot in the Truckee Hotel, and actually shot in the jaw with a shotgun. And they had to reconstruct her jaw. And she's
wow.
still alive. She's living in Northern California. I haven't seen her in years, and I assume she's doing fairly well. And she her whole life was changed because of that. But there was something about that hotel that stimulated violence to women. And there was a woman murdered on the fourth or the second floor, on the same floor my relative got shot in. And then two floors above, in the fourth floor, this little girl is murdered. And whenever, if you have like little kids on the fourth floor, this little girl comes out and tries to talk to them. And I was in there with Spencer Hughes, from a member of our team. And him and I and his family were standing there, and they had a little girl with them, their little girl. And we're all there talking in the room, and suddenly we hear another little girl talking, and we realize, Spencer and I look at each other, and we run out there, and there's nobody there. And it totally matched the whole thing. This was back in 2009, because this is our third, we're on our third visit as of this year to the Truckee. It was just amazing. We had one more here that we'll play. This is Emma. We believe the woman that was murdered on the second floor, the way she's identifying herself, it sounds like Emma to us. And this came in on the SB7, and I think this is the right recording. I should have played it before and checked it. But the SB7 was really active, and we had some neat stuff. So let me see if this is the right one.
Are you upset about the renovations of this hotel? This room is all torn up.
Yeah, right there. It says release Emma, and it's what was so funny is our team was doing their job. They were being skeptical, and Renee Martine was so funny because she's another medium friend of mine, and she's on our team. And she, as a matter of fact, she was on my ghost story. There's another one. She had her own neat experiences that were covered. But she was in there along with, who else was it? Another one of the ladies with us was there commenting at when this one came in. I'm trying to remember which one it was. Sherry. Sherry and Renee were both commenting, and right after that came in and said, oh no, that's just a radio station. Trouble was, the way the SB7 works, you get 100 millisecond shots of each radio station as it trips through the FM spectrum. And this was very clearly saying release Emma. And it sounded like a male voice talking in terms of what to do about Emma. And there seems to be a concern about this woman spirit by a male spirit in there. And the second floor, if you ever go to the Truckee Hotel, I'll tell you what, get the second floor room if you can. If not, head up to the fourth floor, which I think is even more, active. But try to get one of the two locations. The third floor, there is one place there if you get a chance, room 301. 301 was just, we had some crazy experiences in there, and you'll see that on the video on the Ghost Rider Investigations YouTube channel, because we had three of us in there, and something was knocking, and we caught this all on video, and we were trying to debunk it and couldn't. We were looking for hot water pipes causing this. It sounded just like that, and it was a constant knocking, and we had been asking for things to happen, and sure enough, we had it. And I had my own personal experience in there, several years prior on our first visits to the hotel. So it was something. I've only been on one place that's probably as haunted as the Truckee, and it would be the USS Hornet. I mean, to get in there, oh dear God! I activated this clock. Yeah, I'm sure you can hear this, and I'm playing Christmas music right now.
Christmas.
I forgot to turn it off. I reactivated all the clocks, and I thought, just for fun, I'll play the Christmas music all day. It's August, and I'm playing Christmas music. I got this thing at Christmas. That's why I played it. My mother bought me this clock for Christmas, so I thought, oh, I'll just play it. And, it reminds me of Dad. So every hour, you're going to hear Christmas music on GRI in August of 2012. Anyway, never too early for Christmas.
July.
And I'll tell you what. We've been playing some of the stuff we have. Feel free to call in with your paranormal stories or ghost stories. Since we're not doing much mediumship tonight, it didn't quite work out that way. Call in, and here's my cuckoo clock. Can you hear that?
Yes.
I love clocks. I build clocks. I've got a clock project in the queue right now, and I'm actually taking some specially made little figures that a friend of mine makes out of dryer lint, believe it or not. She made me two mice and an owl. And I'm going to have the owl actually as going back and forth on the pendulum, and the two mice on the side with this pendulum clock. So it's going to come out pretty cool. I'll take pictures and put it on Facebook for everybody, because I have a fascination with time. Go figure. Maybe it's just the media thing. I don't know. Time. Yeah, I'm the Time Lord. Call in with your stories. I mean, it's really a light night tonight, so if you want to do that, do it. Call, we'll bring you right on, and tell us a ghost story. Tell us something that's happened to you. Tim, call in Tim.
He's going
to
be right back.
Tim's going to be RB? Okay, he's thinking about it. All right, good.
Am I echoing?
No. Should you be? Huh?
No.
Huh?
No.
What? Hi.
It's my brain.
You are not echoing. Curious listeners here.
Well, I'm getting a delayed thing from when I say the words to when I hear them. Sometimes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, since you bought that new computer, there's something going on there.
How come it's only happening sometimes? Like, I did not echo just now.
Neither
did I. See, I echoed then.
Am I still on? I just kicked my
yep.
computer. Okay, everything's good. I got to rethink this whole setup. I'm not used to this studio. Is it John's End?
You're telling me I'm not echoing tonight, but I sure was the other night.
Yeah, I've got, let me see, I'm going to turn.
It's your end.
Say something.
Hello.
Say it again.
Hello, how are you?
All right, so I'm messing with the pots on the... On my end, and my studio is actually running pretty good. So nice. And you know what? I should not listen to Chris, because he had me all freaked out. Now, Chris, what are you doing? It's a Canada thing. I know. What you doing? I'm trying to be. Yeah. How can a California person talk like a Canadian? It's impossible.
You can't.
It just can't be done.
No.
Look, totally for sure. Like in Canada. How's it going, eh? Anyway, I'm doing readings tonight. Nobody's calling in. Nobody's calling in for readings. Let's see who we got here. Jeez, Nancy, despite your echo, can you do the honors? Because we forgot to read all these nice.
Okay. In the chat, we have John, Bright, Castle, Curious Listener, Chris, Heavenly Heathen, JB, Jean Marie, Laura Spriggs, and Tim. How's everybody?
And we've got guest 10167, 13475, and 15720. We are watching you. We know you're there. Don't know who you are yet, but we are watching.
They are nameless.
You guys. Yeah, it's been interesting though. All these a lot of stuff's happening too here on the property. I don't know about you. You had some interesting photographs you sent my way.
Yes.
Right, says I'm the boss of you now. can you share with everybody what you picked up on?
Well, a couple weeks ago, I got on a bed, my whole house was dark. And as I lay down, I looked up, and I saw kind of like an arc of little yellow lights. And I thought, I'm going to blink my eyes, see if I see them again. I blinked my eyes, they were there. I blinked them again, they were there. And probably about the 10th time, I did not see them. So I thought I would follow everybody else's cue by reaching over and grabbing my cell phone and just shooting in the dark across my room. And to my surprise, there was this real kind of Tudor long, flowy thing, a yellow thing, that was in all my pictures. Now, you could see a circle, and that could be like a light source, but this wasn't part of that. This seemed to follow it. Wherever I shot the picture, there was this tubular yellow thing. So that was my experience.
I looked at that because you showed me those, and they're honest to God, they're remarkable. They're not, you know. I threw everything I could at them, and there's no explanation for these. They just don't make sense, as being anything of a quote a normal phenomena. It looks like a yellowish energy, kind of a tube, tubular shape. And it's like something's trying to manifest. And, you know, the human eye is seeing only the sparkly, little points of light. And yet when you point the camera at it, you're getting this. Now, it does bear witness that if you are on an investigation, do give that a try. I mean, if you see something sparkly and you've got a camera, shoot everything. Just shoot the hell out of it. Don't just shoot one, shoot 20 pictures. It's cheap to do, all that stuff. By the way, since in Chris's honor, since she's back, I was just wondering, did everything go well while you were out in the loo? Just want to be sure. Chris? Oh, just a sec. Hang on. Oh, that could be her.
Hey. You're funny, man. Everything came out according to plan. It's all good. How you doing, Mister?
I'm playing Sounds of Canada.
Sounds of Canada.
Sounds like Alice Lake, your house right now. I got
How's
this
it
thing
going,
from
eh?
Spencer. Spencer Yu bought me, used from Fox Across America, bought me this. It's called the Nature Disc. I've loved it.
I've had
more fun teasing Kathy with that. I mean, Kathy will come on and I'll play that and she immediately has to go to the bathroom.
Now if you would have caught me, 3 minutes ago, then I would have been like, oh, John, if I cough now, I'm in big trouble. And so everything's okay. I'm good to go. And, I already went. How you doing, Nancy?
I'm doing fine, Chris. How are you?
Pretty darn good, thanks.
Probably feeling a lot better right now, huh?
Well, because it's 3 hours on the air, you know what I mean, for me, and then I'm like, okay, I got to go. I really have to go.
I know. You can only do so much.
Yes.
I didn't pee on my hands, is that what I said?
Somebody said, did you wash your hands? I'm like, well, I didn't pee on them. Of course I washed my hands, but I didn't need to. Because I don't pee on my hands, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of got it all figured out. I sit down, it's all good. I don't put my hands all over the toilet seat before I sit down or anything like that. Probably my keyboard is dirtier than, you know, anything else. You know what I'm saying? They know that scientifically, hey?
Well, you've got beer all over it, so that kind of...
Yeah, well, that'll kill it all anyways. Then.
Oh, dear God. What brings you to my neck of the woods there, dear?
I was going to call in last week. Well, I was waiting last week, actually, for a reading, and then we ran out of time and all that. And so I got in here, and I got bossed around, and I lost my head for a minute. And I obeyed. Like, I don't know what's going on. There's problem in the universe. I was easily brain twisted, and like, call now, Chris. It's almost like, you know, like if you call the first caller wins something. So like something took over in my brain, and I'm like, dialing. I started dialing rapidly, like, you know.
When Sounds of Canada available online on Amazon.com. You can get this. Send your money now. All right.
Well, what I'll do is I'll just go onto your show and clip it and steal it for free. You know what I mean? Like, I have to be I'm a thrifty kind of woman because, you know, money isn't growing out of my trees or anything like that right now.
I don't have any money trees either.
I know, right?
I know. Makes me mad.
It's funny that you say money trees. Wow, that's trippy.
Yeah.
Actually, I said it. Well, because, you know, it's funny because I always am interested in hearing from my mother's mother, you know what I mean? And just this moment, you saying money trees made me remember when I was a little kid and we were coming back home from Moose Jaw and it was Easter. And my parents both had really bad situations with their families, and they cut all of their families out. So we didn't really grow up knowing our relatives like that, right? But my mom's mom, you know, had mailed these cards for us for Easter, and they were cards that had little slots in them that you put quarters, you know what I mean? And like, so it was called money trees. It was called a money tree, you know what I mean? Like in the card. And, so that's funny, just that money trees would come up, and here I am calling John hoping to hear from my grandma, and then you said, so I've heard from my grandma. There you go. Thanks for calling, John. Next we're going to go to, this is my show. I just got feedback on that, you know what I mean? Like, and it's not me, it's you. Nice end, though. But it is on your end. John? Yeah, he's got the frogs now. The bullfrog. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Was a good friend of mine. All right. Let's get cereal.
Right, Keith. It's a big one. We've got beer going in Canada. What's happening now?
Maybe Australia. That guy's not Canadian, man. Just so you know.
You know, we had so much fun in here when I was doing this in 2010. This is kind of where I started doing this work, and then I built the primary Studio A. Moved out of here, and then this is only an occasional thing, but I had a lot of fun in the studio, so I'm going to try to do this about once a month, come back in here. It's like a whacked energy in this place. Tonight.
Well, you're a fun guy, though, you know what I mean? And I don't mean to say that you're like mold or anything like that. Like, you're a fun guy. And I'm getting feedback again. I don't know how anyone can stand to listen to my show, because I cannot handle listening to myself.
You know, it's funny. I mean, to watch yourself on TV and hear your own voice was the most strange thing. I could not believe, how I sounded. I mean, I never listen to my shows. I mean, I don't know about you.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, do you ever do that?
I have. I've been known to, because I go back and get clips and things like that. And plus, a lot of times when I have a really great reader on or something like that, I'm so busy checking, you know, I'm so busy with the calls and everything like that, that I really have to pay attention. And holy crap, that feedback is bad.
I'm trying to, I don't think that there's anything that I'm doing to check in.
Whatever you pushed last week to fix it, do that again. Do that to me one more time. Once is never enough.
What he did was he kicked me off the air.
That dirty dog.
I know.
The output levels are set. I'll check and rewire the board. Maybe you know, I can't do it in the middle of the show, but I'm sorry about that. If it is me,
no, that's okay.
I don't
I'll
think
talk
it's
quiet.
Me.
I'll talk.
But anyway, but
well,
you know,
let me ask you: can you hear it, John?
Can you hear what?
The reverb, the echo, the.
No, I can't hear it, and you
right.
sound absolutely
so
fine.
On Blog Talk Radio, he who cannot hear the sound problem is the cause of the sound problem. Okay, that's the number one rule in BTR Club. Number two
you know
rule.
What, Chris?
What's that, Nancy?
What? Okay, you don't echo all the time. Now, the
right.
past sentence you just said, there was no echo
yeah.
at all.
Right, right.
It's
but I'm,
a haunting.
What I'm trying to. What I'm trying to say is that he who does not hear, or she, who does not hear the sound problem is the origin of the sound problem.
Oh.
Let's see.
That's
I've got
number
the
one.
Phones.
Number one. See, I just
see,
heard it again.
Phones.
Did you just hear it, Nancy? Yeah.
Yes,
so
I did.
John, did you
I'm
just hear
a,
that?
I'm running a Behringer board here, and I'm running, this is one of the 8 channel. And I just turned down one of the other pots. It should be better. If it's me, I just turned down something that might have been causing it.
Okay.
So I'll have to tape some of these shut so that I don't cause this. Does it sound a little better?
Yeah, well,
yes.
It's been intermittent. But
okay.
Right now it's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to just
okay.
keep it, you know, because I'm... Basically, what's going on is I'm going to redraw the schematic for the whole audio chain here, and then I'll figure this out for the coming week.
Awesome.
Yeah, computers.
Oh, I know. I hear you. So anyway, yeah, you had a thing like see, I have a face for radio and a voice for the deaf. So you were on TV. Were you on TV?
Yeah, I was on Haunted Highway. They came out, this all came about, I was at work early June, and I get a phone call from a friend of mine, Christine, and she goes, you've got to take this, you know, you've got to get back to these people. And I go, what people? And she goes, Sci-Fi. And I went, Sci-Fi Channel? And she says, yes, they want to talk to you about this, that EVP you picked up in 2008. So I went ahead and took down the number, and I called the guy, and turned out he was coming to the end of his time working and, with Sci-Fi, but he moved me on to another really nice producer, and we got talking, and I sent him the evidence, and it was a 1-hour original copy of our, the entire investigation that we had done. It was a day investigation, 2 days after Christmas in 2008. And what happened was we pick up this little kid 6 minutes in. We're talking about this little boy and where he's buried, and he chimes in and gives me a Class A EVP, and it was amazing. And so what happened was, all these years later, right after Dad passed away earlier this year, I had another show somehow heard about it, approached me, and made all night kind of nice noises, and I sent them a copy, and then they tell me it's no good. It's not good enough for them. And I'm like going, okay, it doesn't get better than that, but fine.
Yeah.
You know, I've got plenty of cases. I don't need TV. June, this comes around, and same exact EVP. I don't know how this all works, but these guys must all talk. And
wow.
When they
and
heard it,
two friends,
they
yeah.
checked, yeah, they checked the quality of the audio. And obviously, probably, ran background checks on all of us. And it sure enough, they came back and said, we'd like to have you on. And
cool.
I was like, what? Okay.
Wow.
We did it. June 20th. I went down and did the filming, and it was something. I mean, you know, went out.
Did it
work.
Air already? When's it gonna air?
It aired on Tuesday, but it'll be played back. They're gonna cycle that back, and I think
on what? I don't know if I get that show.
Yeah, Sci-Fi Channel. I think they play in Canada.
Okay.
Should be. Yeah, Sci-Fi should be.
And it's
be,
called Haunted Highway, hey?
Yeah, a Haunted Highway, okay. And you can pick it up on Hulu, too. I think you can go out on Hulu.com. And I found out that you can actually buy the viewing rights for it off of Amazon. If you go out to Amazon on the instant viewing, you can spend a couple bucks and watch it there. And it's already out there. So I saw that. I was just blown away, though. I mean, because what happened was they took our piece of evidence, interviewed some other people in the county and had them on TV with us, and went out and did this overnight investigation at this cemetery, Pioneer Cemetery in Coloma, about 9 miles from me here. And it's really just a wonderfully haunted area. It's not that the cemetery is haunted. It's the entire area, because it was where gold was discovered in 1848, and it started the whole California gold rush. I mean, I live right in the middle of it. Now, I live on top of a haunted ranch where we had, you know, all these miners were swarming all over the property I'm on right now, which is why I've had some of the things happen here all these years. They picked up some neat stuff. I mean, they had a ball that they were trying to attract a little boy, and the ball is on camera and actually gets hit, and you can see it gets hit and knocked. And it was really, they were blown away. You know, you could tell that they were pretty surprised by this whole thing. Then they catch on the infrared night FLIR camera. There's a legend of a woman, a Burgundy woman, who is stands on top of the hill and beckons to people. And I was skeptical of this because I've never seen this, with this particular entity before. And I've been going there for years, and it's only in my mind it was only a legend. However, I picked up the EVP right at the spot where this kid appeared, is heard, and I picked up the kid. And where
can
this
I ask
woman
you a question?
Seen.
Can
yeah.
I interrupt? I'm sorry. Just because I was like searching on my TV thing right now, and I have a short-term thing going on. So, do you know what the episode is called?
The episode is called Louisiana
Swamp Woman?
Pioneer Cemetery.
I get to see that. I got to go now. It's on. I'm just kidding. It's on tomorrow in the afternoon for me. So awesome! I'm gonna hit a reminder right now. No, I'm gonna hit record. Because I'm going to record you. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, John.
Hey, it was really something. I mean, they picked up an actual.
Don't tell me no more
actual...
now, because now I can watch it. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you're going to ruin it for me. Spoiler alert!
You'll see evidence of the woman being picked up on the FLIR camera, and there's an EVP that is. Rebecca, you're shouting, but I already said it. Pioneer Cemetery's Louisiana Swamp Woman. I don't know about episode number. That's the only.
Yeah.
I don't have.
Sure, I'll get it for you, Rebecca.
I can't tell you the number. I'm doing the show.
Yeah, exactly. That's okay. You carry on, John, and I'll
she's
get.
Like,
I'll get.
She's
that.
Like shouting, and I'm like going, I can't tell you the number. I don't have it in front of me. It's like I've given you what I know. Anyway, where was I? Oh, and they did pick up on the sound of the same kid that I picked up on. They caught an EVP of a kid laughing, which sounds remarkably similar to my EVP. So we think that they picked up on the same thing I got. And what was really nice was they're a skeptical group, which is good. Haunted Highway tends to come in and have a kind of this view of things of, that if they don't have any real proof, you know, and they can explain it away, they're gonna do everything they can. At the end of that episode, they came in and said, "Pioneer Cemetery is haunted." And I was like, "Yes, I knew it was." And so, I mean, the whole—I'm sure now the place is rocking with activity from paranormal investigators. So they're going to probably be showing up in droves to check it out. But I warned the spirits there what was going to happen before this all took place. So, good Lord, it's just been a hell of a ride. So,
that's awesome.
Gonna, you know,
and I get, will you mail me your autograph or something?
Oh dear God!
Are you gonna have 8x10 glossies?
No, I am so over my 15 minutes. I mean, I'm just gonna get back to doing work.
Do you need handlers? Do you need like bodyguards or gatekeepers? Because I'm looking for work, eh?
What I ended up with is I got a new investigator out of it. I got another nice gal from Placerville is wanting to be a investigator in training, and got some interesting. It's sci-fi Nancy. I'm not a celebrity. You know, there's all my friends have been on. Renee Martin, she got on My Ghost Story. Let's see, Alan Wolf Shadow. Has just filmed for My Ghost Story, so he'll be on from Ghost Hunters Incorporated. Margaret, I can't remember her last name. She's Margaret Downey. She's real big in the EVP world, a very famous lady. She was on a couple of times. It's not that big a deal. I mean, now that I've done it, it's like, oh, okay. And I'll probably have it happen again because, I mean, we're doing so much of this work and, but, you know, we're getting back into doing our caseload, and, I've got evidence analysis from the last couple of cases to finish out and a reveal to do. We're going to go back out in the field. I'm trying really hard to get myself physically ready for what's coming because we've got I'm looking at sometime in early September to do a very special mission, and I'll talk more about it later, but it's going to be physically demanding. So I'm trying to get my back to get better so I can handle this. Although I will give you this element of it. It's a water component, and we're going to try something. So we'll get that a go. I'm going to bring somebody on, but before I do that, you were wanting to do a reading, right, Chris?
Yes, please, if you have the time. If not, I'm okay. Let you get on with your show, man.
Well, you wanted your grandmother, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we can't order them up like a hamburger or anything like that, but...
I didn't get it. Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. That's not who came through. you have a male energy. This is a male who's coming through. And he came through and then he just pulled back as we were all talking. So I don't... the only thing I got from him... I don't know what side of the family he's on, and I don't know if he's going to come back on me now because all I got was male and heart attack. I mean, do you have a male in the family, a heart attack?
Does it have to be a family member?
Well, it seemed like a family. Somebody like family.
Huh.
I'm trying to pin an age on him too. I mean, I know he's somewhere between, you know, over 30, and
yeah.
I'm just trying to come to terms with who this is.
I have an idea, but it's not family.
Is he like family?
What do we call like family? I mean, he'd probably be hurt if I said no, but, you know, like, I'll say yes if we talk about a heart family, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, family's in the heart. It's not about, you know, biological relation. He's part of your inner circle of closeness, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing me a large letter F.
F.
What is it? Yeah. And I'm seeing F2. That's good. I don't get the F thing. What is this? What? Do you know the day that he passed?
Yeah. Oh, and then tell you or don't tell you?
Don't tell me.
Right.
He didn't die all at once. That's what he's telling me. I didn't die all at once.
Right.
What was that about?
I'm getting feedback again, but this is the one that I believe was crossing over about a year ago while I was on your show. And I was typing in your chat room how suddenly... my upper torso became so hot. I put this right into the chat room.
Yeah.
And I found out that was 11:30 p.m. my time, and I found out that he crossed over at 1:30 a.m. So it would be like July 31st my date, but August 1st his date, because it was 01:30 Eastern time, which was 11:30 p.m. Mountain time.
Okay, I was getting a number two, and see, what I got was I got a number two, and I was trying to figure out, I figured second of a month, and was there something the day after he died that was of significance? Because she's showing me the two.
Well, that would be the day that I found out.
Okay.
It was like
now,
right after
okay.
I got off the air and stuff like that, and it was pretty, he didn't die all at once, and he shouldn't have died.
What is the, I'm not getting anything about, you know, and again, I'm a little rusty on all this, so I'm kind of getting back into my groove here, but what is this F significance? I don't know if I've got
a
need.
If you said F2, like I would associate F2 with a computer keyboard, you know, and I met the guy, of course, on the computer, you know what I mean, through BTR.
Huh. All right, well, we'll put that one aside because
I'm not
I'm not making sense of it.
No, it could be, I can't say sitting here right now that I know when the date of his birthday was, so Feb 2nd might be something for me to look into or, you know, something like that. But I'm writing it down.
Was there the relationship between the two of you, he's older? And what I'm sensing is, I'm not going to say fatherly relationship, but it was darn close to that. It had a feel like, he was big brother, father, you know, kind of above you. I mean, was that how he was with you?
Well, he's definitely older, and, you know,
he cared about you.
Yeah, well, I would probably say yes, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a real, was he married at the time? Because I'm getting...
Nope.
Did he have a marriage prior?
I think he did, yeah.
All right. Was there a child?
And I don't believe so, but I could be wrong.
Because I'm getting child energy with him. And it's either...
He did have a niece that was close to him and stuff like that.
Well, I don't know that that's it. You may find out later that there may have been someone that you didn't know about, and I believe this child has passed. I think he's with the child.
Okay.
I think he had a child who's passed. Did he... Did he work in some sort of industrial type job? Was it industrial? I feel like he's out in the. I feel like field work. He's out doing something.
I can't quite remember, but that seems to make some sense to me.
Okay. Well, I'm on him. I mean, he's. There's some regrets about. What I'm getting is I'm getting a regret about school.
Hmm.
I don't know what that's in relation to it, but I feel like he's got a regret about, there's something with school and he has personal regrets about this. And I'm not sure if it's about him, school, or him and someone else that here on this side in school. And I don't think it's you.
Right.
Did he have, was there more than one person in your family he had a closeness with?
No, nobody in my family knows him. I mean,
okay.
Unless we talk about my, you know, I met him on Blog Talk Radio, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's something, I just feel like if I had to say, and I don't know if you can validate this, I feel like there's a connection in the with him, with the family that he was part of on that side with him. That there was someone that he was close to, a young person, and I think that maybe this little girl that we're talking about, the cousin, the niece?
Yeah, right.
The niece?
Yeah, right.
Is she getting, is she like teenage years now?
I think she's older, actually, John.
there's something with school with her, and he has a regret about that, and I don't know quite what that's about, but I don't know if that's something you can follow up on.
Yeah, interesting.
He is perfectly fine. He's, you know, for him, the passing was, I just don't think it was, you know, he knew what was going on. He didn't particularly like the experience, but once he crossed, he was just okay with it. He was, you know, he was ready. Was there, how well did you know him?
Well, you know, I mean, I got, the tragedy is that we kind of knew, hung around at Kathy's Distant Echoes a lot, and not long before he had his heart attack, he asked me if he could call me, and so we started to talk to each other on the phone. And it was almost almost right after that that he had this heart attack, triple bypass, was recovering from that, blah, blah, blah. Got pneumonia then. They sent him back to hospital. They got the pneumonia taken care of somewhat, and he wound up dying of a stomach infection.
That's
was a shock. Like he should. And so that, see, I received some comfort once I could step back clearly and go, like, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. And
yeah,
like,
when your ticket's punched.
He beat the heart attack, he beat the triple bypass, he beat the pneumonia, and it was a stupid stomach infection. You know what I mean? And so I took some comfort in that, as to say, like, it was time to go. I mean, you know, it was still really sad, but, and I miss him a lot. You know, and we, and I was talking to him once he had the heart attack and was then in the rehab center. I got hooked up with his phone number, and I got to talk to him a few times. We even dialed him up. I got the idea to dial him up from Kathy's show. So we have, you know, we talked to him, you know, from his bed there in the rehab center, even on the air. And so I can go back and listen to those things and, you know, stuff like that. So how well we got to know each other, you know, is is the sad thing. Yeah, I know that we would have become very close. I don't mean in any kind of, you know, sexual way, but I'm just saying like that we would have, we were connecting very well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not only in the chat room, but once we started talking in person, we connected very well.
I would get the feeling that he would be open to trying down the road, not tonight, but when I'm back in my regular studio, to actually try to see if we can pull him through on EVP, because I'm just kind of getting that sense. Did he have kind of a fascination with electronics and things like that in life?
I really don't know, John. Just know that he was like he obviously was very intrigued by the paranormal. He hung around at Kathy's show the most. He was Wiccan, you know, and that kind of a thing. So, you know, that's, he wasn't out there. He wasn't out there with a lot of personal information. And as I said, like I had just started to talk with him on the phone, and he was just going to start his annual vacation. And he was like, this was when I was co-hosting for Courtney Bibb. And he's like, okay, I'll be able to come to your show while you're co-hosting now because, you know, I'm going to be on vacation. And it was his first day of vacation, like the next day or the day after that he, when I first talked to him was a Friday. And it was like that Saturday or that Sunday morning that he had this heart attack and went, got rushed in, had triple bypass and all that kind of stuff. So, and then I got to chat with him and a few times from when he was in the hospital or when he was in the rehab facility. So other than that, we only knew each other in the chat room. Yeah.
Well, he said, I mean, that was the neat part. I very clearly got him coming in and saying, I didn't die all at once. It was like this, you know, the whole, you know, journey thing. He was just really, the vacation really is, he finally got to get out of this.
Yeah.
You know, there was more to it than that. It was just, you know, that was, he chose that time to go. And was ready. He had finished his mission here. He was done. But he still retains, like, what I get the feeling of is he's still, you know, he's still got this kind of connection to Blog Talk and to you. And I wouldn't mind trying to do a little PSB7 work with him in a, you know, coming show. You know,
right.
So if you want,
well, and I think that's really why I was
dial,
in line last week was
so,
because you were doing EVPs and it was going to be, it was within days of his crossing. The
yeah.
last show you did was within
yeah.
day, you know, it was just a couple of days before his crossing, would it be the
mm-hmm.
first year anniversary of his crossing. So I thought, hey, this might be a good time to try, you know. And
well,
I'm
kind of getting
was,
the,
was, yeah.
yeah, I get the feeling, you know, we should get together, you know, either on your show and have me dial in and me do a session with, you know, with like some of the gear and
yeah.
see if we can pull him
yeah.
in, you know, I'd be glad to do it.
That'd be awesome. Awesome.
Okay. Well,
cool.
Well,
I appreciate
yeah.
that. And yeah, you started that all out by saying heart attack, and so that
yeah.
is what kicked it all off. And the age sounds right, like not, or, you know, not definitely over 30, but you weren't calling him really old. And so yeah, I think you got him.
What's his? What was his name?
Tony.
Tony. Do you know his last name?
Not handy, but his handle on BTR was Green Magic.
Check the if you happen to look it up later, check the last name. I'd just be curious
yeah.
what you
know. I'll
out.
Type it into the chat room. Shame on me for not having it right on the top of my head.
Yeah, no
but
problem.
I will type that into the chat room.
Okay.
Okay.
I am going to we've got an 814 caller out there. I need to stand up because my back is absolutely on fire right now. As part of the other reason with my readings, I'm a little bit off because of all this. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to stand up, go grab some water in the kitchen here. Come right back. So I'm going to play. I'll try the sweet intro. 2 minutes and 37 seconds, and we'll be back, and we'll bring 814 on. Chris, do you just want to stay on and be part of the show?
You can mute me.
Okay. I've always wanted to mute you, baby. I got her good. All right. We'll be back in 2 minutes, 37 seconds, and I'm going to stretch and make a few vertebrae go and do that and see you guys. For those of you who need to do this, let me find it right there. Now's an opportune time to go to the bathroom. So you do that, and I'll be right back. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com. Live from our studios in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Soul Stream on blogtalkradio.com.
Unhinged. You were like some desperate howling demon. You frightened me. Do it again.
And that was from my friend Debbie out there in the Roseville area. She knows who she is. She's probably sitting there blushing right now. Anyway, I am your host, Johan Almada. I am a Scottish lad trapped in California. Yes, we are back, and my back is much better. I've got water, a little hot here, temperature 84 degrees in studio, 71.2 degrees outside. One of these days I'm going to do the show outside. I think that might be a better deal. Anyway, Lamp Simone.
Yes?
She is still here. It's good to
and
know.
And did you just check the chat room? Because Chris just put some information in there, and his name was Tony, Anthony, Kurt, Christopher, or Curtis Christopher. And yes, he did have a daughter who graduated from school, John.
Okay.
School, John. So there,
something
FYI.
Something just happened in studio. I'm here alone on this side of the property. Did you hear that knocking noise?
I thought it did, but.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here looking around. I mean, all the hair went up on the back of my neck here. I mean, I'm looking around. There's nothing in here with me. And I don't feel any spirits. And yet, it's like,
not
sorry,
that.
I'm just, it freaked me out a little bit, you know. So you were telling me the stuff about him, and then I got totally distracted with whatever the hell was out there. It was like
maybe
something
that was him.
Yeah, something was knocking here in the studio, and I'm going, what the hell? And it wasn't my chair. I mean, I'm trying to debunk it, and I can't make sense of it. So whoever you are, you got me. So anyway, his name was Tony what?
Anthony Kurt Christopher. Christopher. So Tony, first name?
I can't
maybe
get
that
the name. I got the name Frank or Frankie. I don't know what that's about. I mean, I'm getting a Frank, like a FR name, and it sounds like Frank to me. And if he sounds Italian, that's for sure. But I mean, I'm getting either he's talking about a Frank or Frankie. I don't know. You know, that's something that you know, Chris is going to have to figure out. Maybe she knows something. Let's see. Now there was some traffic going by. Rebecca Bryson out there in the chat room. John, my daughter is not doing investigations too with Ghost Paranormal. I don't know what that's all about. She's telling me all about that, so I don't know, because I don't remember. Rebecca, I'm sorry, but I don't remember anything about Ghost Paranormal. You're talking to me about it, but is it? Are you in my area? Are you the one dialing in? So you're the 814?
Yes, she says unmute me. She's muted,
oh,
so
okay.
Unmute her. On Skype.
That sounds so terrible, doesn't it? Unmute me.
D-I-T.
I was just watching Young Frankenstein. Remember that part? Elevate me here, now?
No, just unmute me.
Unmute me.
Oh.
You're
yes,
unmuted now. Welcome to Soulstream. You're unmuted.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello? Hi,
hello.
How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hello. We're fine. How are you? You there?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
This isn't Rebecca. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
oh,
we can hear you. 814.
This is 814.
Yeah. You must have another name, 814. They didn't name you that on the birth certificate.
No, they didn't. My name is Shannon. I had called in the other day and talked to you about my fiance traveling from Oregon to Pennsylvania.
And we're going to just put that call on hold. I know more about this case now than you can shake a stick at. So we're just going to leave that one to be and not go there. And I have also my friend Chris to thank me about some interest there. So thank you, 814, for dialing in, but we have some other things to move on to. So we're going to go ahead and do our thing here. Now, Rebecca Is that... High fives, John. Thank you, guys. There's a little more to that story, and I'll have it be known that we on Blog Talk, between the host-to-host network, kind of share information about some of the things that get called in. So we do our thing. And when we get certain things being, you know, coming in about certain types of calls and things, we just take action on that. So we'll move on. If anyone else wants to call in and talk about whatever is going on in their lives, what is, are you, oh, I see, you're the Rebecca, okay, yeah, you didn't raise your hand. So I didn't, and I never would pick the, I thought that the caller that, Rebecca, that you are, it was the one who was, I figured you were from like South Africa someplace. With that name, that crazy name. So I'm going to bring you on.
Now up you know, there. I got the beat.
Yes, I was thinking you were from South Africa, you know. And they were thinking you were going to call me and try to sell me something in your country of origin, you know.
I'm sitting here and I'm saying, okay, John, you can take the duct tape off my mouth now. And Deb comes out in the room and says, you can take the duct tape off her mouth now. I'm like, Deb, you just channeled that because I was thinking that. That girl, I'm telling you, I love her. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, my daughter, her name's Cassie, and she was recently on Chris's show for a little while as a guest, a visitor guest, because she was visiting here. She's in Tennessee, and wow. I'm in Massachusetts. And there's a group down in southern Tennessee called Ghost Paranormal, and they're the Ghost Hunters of Southern Tennessee. And they were recently, they've been doing tours in Harriman of the, oh, I always forget the name of the building. The court, what used to be the courthouse there anyway. I can't think of the building at the moment. And the Temperance Building, that's what it's called. She ended up hooking up with these guys because she was talking to somebody else via Twitter. And so they called her in and said, okay, well, we'll try you out. And they took her in for an investigation, and they fell in love with her and brought her on board.
So cool.
All right. That's the coolest. I'm a proud mama.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the neat part. You know, it's like this thing that happened with the, you know, the Haunted Highway show. And then I ended up with an investigator who works at the hospital that my dad passed in, and I recognized her. Face when she Facebooked me, I realized I'd seen her in the halls all the times I'd been there dealing with dad stuff. And I was like, we kept passing each other. And now she's going to be a junior investigator with us.
Oh, that is awesome.
And it was so cool. And you know what's the nice part about it is our local hospital is quite haunted. So I may get to actually go into the lower floors where I've heard the, you know, the staff doesn't really like to go. So we're you know, keeping that open as a particular investigation. But yeah, you know, so she just got in then, your daughter.
Yeah, I put up the picture from the website. It's on, well, this is where the picture is at, that link right there. I cut a screenshot of it. But it's just so cool. So I'm excited for her.
When's her first, I mean, she's already done an investigation with them?
Yep. They're doing another in September, and what they're doing is they're doing tours also because they're trying to save the building. So proceeds are going toward restoration of the building so that it doesn't have to come down.
You know, you said it was, what was it called, the Temperance Building?
Yes, the Temperance Building. You can Google it.
Okay, and that was in what town?
In Harriman.
Harriman, okay. So, yeah, everybody get the word out to save that building. And evidently it's quite haunted from the sounds of it.
Oh, she caught some pictures. You know, they were great. They were actually the first, you know, she took them in sequence, too. So there was no possibility of messing up the way she shot it. And she in the same place, so she shot and there was nothing there. And then there was this shadow. It was really dark. And then the next one, so it's like frame, frame, click, click, click. And then the next one, it was gone. And she caught some orbs and just different things. And they had her do an EVP session, and she asked questions, and they answered her.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, if she's getting that kind of stuff to begin with, she's, you know, some people just have a kind of a magnetism about them. You know, especially with when you're having that much luck starting out, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. You know, she may very well turn out to be kind of one of those people that draws in activity, and they do exist. I mean, I pick up EVPs like crazy. You know, I'm not so much with the photographs, but when I go out with a recorder in hand, look out. I mean, I get 60 EVPs, and I go, gee, I had a bad night. Everybody else goes, what?
Oh, darn, huh?
You know? I mean, I just like, they just talk to me. I mean, I and sometimes I hear them, sometimes because I'm clairaudient, and yeah. You know, so I'll actually hear them. Usually I hear the ones that are mad. You know, they're yelling. But definitely encourage her with this. I mean,
I'm all behind her for it. Yeah, when she was a little girl, she's always been like sensitive, and empathic, and when she was a little girl, I didn't have to tell her. She would tell me when she got funny feelings, and I would say, "Oh, well, that's because we're coming up on an area where there's an Indian burial ground," and she would tell me, "Mommy, something about this feels funny," and I didn't tell her about it beforehand. So then I would tell her the story of the area, you know. So.
Yeah, so you were really teaching her then the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's sort of the thing that happened with me. I mean, I grew up in a family of all these people that were, you know, sensitive, and we didn't get treated like we were special. We just got told, okay, yeah, you've got that, and, you know, here's some of the things we pick up on, and we trade advice, and that was about it. It was only when I got into, you know, doing the actual investigation work that it really began to change, you know, for me. And I realized this, not all people have this.
No,
okay.
No, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
echo.
You start... What? What?
We're getting an echo.
We're getting an echo.
And I'm on a headset.
So, you know, I wonder, I don't know if it's my board. I'm going to rip it. Again, I'll rip apart the audio chain. So I see if it's me.
See.
Hi. How are you doing?
Frying pan.
I love the frying pan. Ooh, hit me with it again. Thank you.
I got a cast iron one. Actually, I've got three. Pick your
two women competing with frying pans. This is a terrible thing.
I know.
Pick your
I could electrify mine.
Poison.
Oh, dear God.
Double shot.
Yeah, one on each side of the head. We'll just do it in stereo.
At the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Might actually knock sense into me. I'm just waiting for Jeannie to come back and tell me what she's got in store for me there in the South, because Jeannie Marie is out there, and Jeannie likes my voice. Everybody, she likes
the sound
of my voice.
You have a beautiful voice.
Well, thank you.
It's very
got that announcer kind of voice.
It's like you could read to me at night, and I'd be really happy.
You know, I think I found a new career. I'll just be I'll just show up and read to people. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. You know, the medium cheap thing's a passing fad, you know?
Well, now you're making me blush, but yeah. And I know that I remember a couple times we had to move too, because where we were living, she didn't feel comfortable. You know, like she says, I can't be in this room. And I know a couple of times I picked up on what she felt. It was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of uneasy in here. And so we moved. But
we've had some weird things here. I mean, the property I'm on, you know, was actually for about, I think, 2 years had structures on it. And we find the remains of the buildings in the work we do here. We find square nails, and we actually found an entire forge from a blacksmith here on the property when we were plowing, and we bumped into this thing and we pulled up tools and things like that. So, and we know that there are 3 to 4 bodies buried on the property, you know, so we've had some pretty interesting encounters. Plus we had this woman spirit named Anna, who we finally crossed over. She was murdered out here. And that's what we found out over the years. And we actually have an EVP my mother picked up. And Anna says, you're right on top of me, because we were trying to find where she was. And so we created a little site for her and put some plants in for her down in the northern section of our property.
Wow.
And
wow.
And then one day she let me know she was ready to cross, and I helped her cross over. in July of last year. Yeah, and but you know, we get these creepy feelings though, especially in October. We've got these two large black. These things are big. They're like about 7 foot tall. We'll see these things, and they'll cross over right across from the north side over to the east. And I'll generally see them just as it's getting dusk. I'll walk out and I'll catch them, and it's like they want to be seen. And then they just kind of go, you know, scooting across, and it's the weirdest thing. And I've seen them over the last 30 years here about probably about 10 times.
So has you know, the history of your property?
Well, we know that there was the murder here, and we know that there was a lot of violence, you know, towards not only you know, amongst the regular settlers, but there were also Chinese who worked the property. We found pottery, and we know that, you know, it was Chinese pottery, and we haven't. Oh dear God, I forgot. Well, you get to hear some Christmas music from my clock that I just got running. There we go. It's Silent Night here on August, what? August the 3rd.
Yep.
For
to
those
make
of
it
you,
feel cool, fourth. Right?
Yeah, Silent Night. Yes. Can you hear it?
Yes.
You
yeah.
can hear it.
Yeah. Oh, and the echo's gone.
Ah, yes.
Oh.
Same spirits like Christmas. Come on in.
Just
come
to me. Now I'm echoing.
All right, I turned that down a little. We're going to find out what that echo thing is, because it's going from studio to studio, and I'm not sure that it's me completely, but if it's something in my basic assumptions about the audio chain and the setup, I'll figure it out. But here goes my cuckoo clock.
Yeah,
I have a lot of clocks in the property.
It's on a delay, too. The echo isn't immediate. It's, like, kind of on a time delay.
Well, actually, it does yeah. a time delay thing. It does. It's got, like, an echo of its own.
Oh, okay. But, see, now it's gone
yeah, but
again.
You're not echoing now anymore.
Nope, not anymore.
I know.
Oh. Well, it must
have
been silent.
You get some ghost or something, and they're messing with your board.
Comes and it goes.
All I know is I think it's the way I'm patching this board in, and I may have a bad assumption in both studios. So I'll see if I. But you know, it's never been a problem before. It only just seems like it's recent, and I don't know. I mean, are any other shows having this problem? I mean, or is it just me?
So far today, just you, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just me. Okay. All right. Now, I have to ask the question, you know, what is the deal with the Dehiti, what is it, Agaya?
Yeah, oh, it's Cherokee.
What?
It's Cherokee,
oh, is it Cherokee,
but Warrior Heart Woman, yeah.
Warrior Heart Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you could use English, but I like that, because it looks okay. South African to me. I was thinking, she's probably another country, and I'm going to...
I'm not Cherokee either, I'm Mi'kmaq, so it's all good.
You're Mi'kmaq?
The person who gave me the name was Cherokee, so I translated it into Cherokee.
Ah, okay. And that's now. You're using English letters. They probably had an alphabet of their own in
the
a way
Cherokee
of writing it.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's probably like symbols that won't be in a computer anywhere. So you did the best you could, which this worked out.
I could probably copy and paste them, but then you'd look at it and go, "What the hell is that?"
Well, I wasn't doing it before. Going, what? I mean, I was just checking. You know what? It's like I hate Skype because Skype has this thing. I'll set my Skype so that I only get messages from my contacts, right? And Skype has this horrible habit of undoing your privacy settings so that you'll get like stuff from anyone. And then I get all these. I was just checking my phone because I have a dedicated Skype phone. And here I have this guy, you know, from Botswana, who's a general in their army, and is going to, you know, and is wants me to, you know, give me half of $10 million, you know.
Yeah, sure. Your uncle, very far removed, or somebody, you know, died, and you're the only person you could find in the family, and they got to get it over to you really quick before the government takes it or some bull crap. like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, basically the entire, you know, I've become convinced the entire nation of Nigeria is just a big scam.
Because we get tons of money rolling around.
Well, you know, you just, I mean, I just sit there and I watch that the stuff come in and I think, you know, don't they have something better to do? Like, you know, I mean, that part of the world's needing food. Why don't you grow some? You know, I mean, do something. But you're sitting around on the internet screwing people. Okay, that's really cool. But, you know, what I'm really mad at is Skype does this thing where they uncheck your security. And I've never figured this out, why it keeps happening. And every time I think I've got it solved, I finally got it all solved. And then 3 months later, uncheck. And, well, how'd that happen?
Like when they update to improve your experience, which makes things worse every single time, maybe that's when it happens.
Yeah, I just think that I think that somebody needs, you know, Microsoft owns them. I think, you know, there needs to be like a campaign, you know, don't do the uncheck thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to hear from all these people. And I get all these crazy, you know, because I saw your name there, you know, with what you had. And that's the sorts of names we get, you know, all these crazy. And I had one that had a message for me that says, you know, that they were using my last name and going, I want to talk to you about your name because I can help you. And I'm like, what? Is it a problem? I'm not who I think I am, you know?
It's like, well, I got news for you, buddy. I'm psychic and I can talk to the dead, so there's nothing you can do to help me.
Yeah, I talk to dead people, dude. You know, let me be the one. You. Yeah, your parents aren't who they think they are either. You know, right. You know, I think I should do that. I should, you know, the next time I get like a teleprompter call, you know, like for a political thing, and I have a real person on the other end, I'll say, you know, I'm a medium. I already know the outcome of the election. I know what's going to happen. So why are you calling me?
That'd be so funny. Last night, Chris, I think it was Chris played, I think it was Chris, somebody played this clip of what somebody did when a telemarketer called. And then they said, that person's dead. Wait, oh, and why are you calling? And how are you associated with them? Don't go anywhere. You have to talk to us, and we're going to bring you in. And all this hysterically funny.
Yeah, you could reverse screw with them. I mean, another person, I was reading something else, too. There was an article on privacy. And it turned out that, that what they were doing was, you know, because all these different agencies want to know everything about you, mm-hmm. there's no law that says you can't, because if it's like voluntary information, you know, like if you go to a store or you, you know, somebody calls you and you, you know, they want voluntary information from you, you can give like a fake name, you know, or if you're on some online survey, you know, just give a fake name and a wrong email address, you know, and a bad phone number. And it's like it completely, you know, and it'll totally pollute all their information. And I started thinking about it and I went, wow, that's actually brilliant. You know, because if, you know, if they're going to invade your privacy, why do you have to tell the truth?
That's a great idea. You know, because I'm always so honest, I'm going to stop being honest.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, I mean, use your name that you've got there, you know, say what's your name, and then just to say, I am such and such a woman, you know, and they're going to go, what? How do you spell that?
I have a new phone number for the house, and I keep getting these bill collectors and stuff, and I'm guilty, but I probably freed this guy from ever being found. You know, it's like, is so-and-so there? Whatever the name is. Like, I'm sorry, they died last week.
But I know this medium who you can get into contact. He can tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, good luck collecting whatever it is they owe you.
I've been getting bill collectors on my show now. What's going on here?
Right.
How did that happen? I don't get it.
Oh, that's too funny.
You know what? For a one reading night, this is pretty good. We've come up with some brilliant stuff tonight.
I'll take advantage of that. Do I get anybody hanging around me?
There's bill collectors everywhere.
Thanks. I love you too. And what was your address again, so I can forward it?
It's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington D.C. Right.
So maybe I could have all the bills forwarded to Mitt Romney.
Oh, you know, the man there that just who said 2 weeks ago, you know what he said? He said, you didn't build that. We did it. Well, that means he saw the bills. There you go.
Yeah, that's
oh, God. So you want a reading. You want a reading?
Sure, why not, seeing I'm here?
Well, okay, let me work on this here. So female energy immediately comes in.
Yeah, and I'm all getting goosebumps.
Who's getting goosebumps?
I am.
You are? Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm.
You too.
Mm-hmm. We're good.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to have a cigarette after this.
I'm getting goosebumps. Because you're getting... Anyway, I'm still on the bill collector thing. It's funny. I got a spirit who's going to lie to me. That's going to be the best part. No, but this one is actually kind of... What is going on with her? Okay, I'm going to go back to my system because I don't... Female, mother, father, female, definitely. Draw the right to mom. Mom's sign. I don't think... It's definitely not your mother. Your mother's still here?
No, she's fine. She's fine.
What's the deal with your mother then? Because there's... Is your mother have a sister?
The sisters are still alive. But her mother's gone.
Well, wait a minute. No, because I'm trying to make sense of this. I was drawn to the right to... Because when I... my system that I use, the way I was taught, is you have... oh, I do this in reverse. That's why I got this screwed up. I was thinking male-female, and I've got mother, you know... It's usually father on the left, mother on the right. So I totally screwed my system up because I've been laughing and doing everything wrong. So I got mother on the right, and I'm drawn to mother. And then I get it that she's... And the sisters are still alive. Multiple sisters?
Two. Actually, one's a half-sister and one's a full sister.
Okay. So she's calling out. So she's passed, and she's calling out the other sisters. So I was getting it wrong about who was passed, but she's calling out the sisters, and I got the relationship to the mother. Now what's going on with this? Now what is... I'm trying to get the cause of the passing. I'm going to go with five. Was it in the last 5 years?
Mm-mm.
Is this, it was in the last 5 years?
No.
How long ago?
What year are we now, 2012?
Yeah.
1996?
96. So that's been a long time. Was, where am I getting 5 years? What is going on with, maybe that's why she's pointing out sisters. Is there one of the sisters who either had a, because I'm getting a disease thing. Is there a sister?
Yeah, my Aunt Mary.
Was this in the last 5 years, the Aunt Mary?
Yes.
All right. That's what I've got. Was this a cancer thing?
Yes.
All right. I'm on it. I'm getting upper chest. Was it breast? Or something?
No,
chest?
Jaw. But
okay,
that's
so
close to the upper chest.
Part of body, then upper part of body. All right, mm-hmm. So in the vicinity.
Yeah.
Was there worry about it spreading?
I don't know because we don't talk that much.
Okay. Well, she's pointing out this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
This jaw cancer thing is a continuing theme?
I don't know. I'll have to call my Aunt Mary tomorrow. I haven't talked to her in a while.
Okay. Your mother is around her. That's the thing that I'm getting. It's why she immediately points this out to me. You know, that's and I was getting confused about who was who because, I got the five, the mother, your mother being passed all this time, pointing out, but she's around Mary.
Like, and Mary's not young either. She's
Yeah, there's more going on with this. You haven't kept up with them with what's going on in that situation.
No, because they're Jehovah Witnesses and I'm not, and they don't particularly care for me.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No worries, I understand. There's much more going on with this than I think meets the eye. I just feel like whatever it is still going on the way she's describing this, and it's still there's more to it and I don't think that I think things could get things could be getting interesting in a not so good way. So just be aware
that
this. Just be aware that she's your mother's around this now. Mary, who's the person that I'm trying to understand the symbols? Your mother's communication is a little. I'm really trying hard with her.
She was a little flighty, so it's all good. She's a flirt too.
That's
unlike
probably
me.
The one who's knocking on my wall, freaking me out. I'm trying to understand her because she's someone. This isn't the first cancer scare in the family, yes or no? And I'm going with yes.
On my mother's side, no.
Is, you know, so this is, which is it? Is this, there's been cancers before?
Yes.
Other people?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the leukemia person or blood cancer?
Well, as far as I know, my yaya, which was my mother's, actually her aunt who raised her, died of uterine cancer, but I suppose that could poison your blood.
Okay, well, I have, yeah, you know, no, I'm, yeah.
No, not yaya. Okay. You'll know if it's yaya.
Yeah, you'll want to check this because I, you know, there's a connection
maybe
to your mother.
My aunt Lorraine.
You'll want to.
It's my mother's brother's deceased wife.
All right, that's why
I
was getting an L, and I was looking at the cancer angle, and I was getting an L name, and I should have shot that out there.
Yeah, Lorraine. That's Aunt Lorraine.
Okay, Lorraine. Now, what's with Lorraine's passing?
I do believe she had leukemia.
Okay, so Lorraine was close in some way to your mother?
Yeah. Actually, we all moved to Hawaii together at one point, and we visited more with that them than some of the other family.
Okay, then the two of them, so both of them are gone, and they're
mm-hmm.
crossed over.
Yes.
Lorraine's passing was when?
Oh, gee. I don't know, because all the aunts and uncles started dropping dead around the same time.
Okay.
It's been several years. It was after my mother. So probably in the last 5-7 years.
Now, the connection with Lorraine to your daughter.
My daughter?
My daughter?
Yeah, what's the thing? I'm trying to understand this. She's pointing out your daughter.
Which one?
The one that's going on the paranormal investigations, and I'm trying to understand where this is going. Your daughter being sensitive, has your daughter picked up on these two before?
You know, we've never talked about it, but she was very, very close to my mother. I mean, really close to my mother.
How about Lorraine? Did she ever meet her in life?
Yeah, but they weren't close.
Okay, well, the thing that I'm going to say is that I think this is where your mother's going with this. This hasn't happened yet, but I think it will happen. I believe the two of them are fixing to do some kind of step in and help along with her training and all this.
Oh, okay.
So don't be surprised if they maybe, like, make appearances at the house.
I'll let her know.
But getting is like they're all like applauding this. Oh, this is really cool. Yeah, this is great. And that's kind of the sense I'm getting of this, that they're really excited that that she's developed an interest in this, and that she's working on her gifts. And so definitely have her pay attention to that. activity in your house. Have you been having activity in your house?
The one I'm living in? Oh, I don't doubt that there's activity in this house.
Okay. Have you witnessed any?
The cats notice stuff.
All right.
I notice things that, like, disappear, you know, things that get moved every now and again. And, but nothing that I've really picked up on much. But animals usually know. If there's something around, they let me know.
All right. Next time your daughter is in, don't tell her this part. Ask her to walk around the house and just kind of get where the sensitivities are.
Okay.
Your mother is showing me living room.
That's the room I spend the most time in, too.
Yeah, and then I'm getting, do you have, like, I'll just say it. Do you have, like, a room that's kind of like a plant room or something, garden room? Is there a room with more plants?
My living room, I have some in the pantry.
Okay. I'd watch those rooms, okay?
Okay.
And just ask her where she picks it up and just see what she does. They're kind of wanting to do like a little, be part of an investigation with her and play around with her and kind of train her up, I guess is the word.
Okay. I know there's some around here. There's just no doubt. I mean, this town had an asylum in it once. There was a Native American community that was here once. The building I'm in is over 100 years old. In fact, all of Main Street is. There was a guy, his name, in fact, I was researching his family, Philip Freeman, who was stabbed up the street in the head by Mr. Mackey, who was drunk. It had to do with a team of horses or something, and just a lot of things that happened around here.
Well, they want to haunt your daughter for a while and just kind of get her prepped.
Okay.
I think this is kind of funny. It's so cute to have the family that, you know, that hunts their own dead together, stays together, you know, some of those things. But, I mean, the fact that you're open to it, too, and although you're not doing the sensitive thing the same way, although you've had your moments, I think it's a good thing. They're just really happy with the way things are going with you guys. So, and they like and even though it's nice that you'll talk to the one that is the religion that you're not, you know.
I should check in on her. I haven't talked to her in a while.
Yeah, there's more to going on with that. The jaw cancer thing is the one thing that I will say is I just saw an article on people with this thing and where they have to take the jaw off. And this happened to my uncle who's since passed in 2009. And they now can actually grow a new jaw that is exactly the same as your own jaw using your own cells. And to create and actually replace the whole jaw, you won't look quite the same as you did before, but it'll functionally be your jaw. It's all your cells. It won't reject it. And they literally can do this now. Now they're doing custom body parts, custom regrowing of bones. So, you know, there's something, you know, just that's just something to think about because I don't know why I'm being led to say that, but I'm going with that.
Okay.
So, you know, science is amazing stuff, some of the things that they're coming up with.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think of any last, has she got any last things for you? You're still married? Are you married?
I'm divorced.
What's the thing, because I'm getting male energy with you. She's showing energy, so I'm trying to get
apparently that guy that's supposed to be coming along sometime soon when I'm ready.
Is there a guy giving you like the eye?
The evil eye?
No, the good eye.
The good eye.
The guy checking out eye.
I don't know.
They
could be.
She's wanting to slap you upside the head because you're blind as a bat on this.
So there's somebody who's giving me the eye and it's obvious and I'm not seeing it because it's right in front of my face.
Because he's like scared. Okay, that's all she's saying. And they're laughing about it. But when the time's right, don't lose hope. That's the thing. I was tentatively broaching the male subject because I'm going, I don't know if there's a husband or not, and I'm not picking up from her.
Feel free to say anything you want.
Yeah. you know, and we only got 6 minutes left, but I'm going to go because she's still got a couple of things.
Yeah, well, we haven't talked in a while, so I'm sure.
What? Who's, okay, I got the L name. I got the leukemia. What was her name?
Lorraine.
There's some men on the other side with them.
Oh, yeah, there are.
And I'm trying to think of the... They keep showing me feet. Why am I getting feet? This guy's like freaking big. You know, this guy is like Bigfoot. I mean, was there like a really big man?
My papa was like 6'3".
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm showing big man. And I'm going there, and he's there. And this guy's huge. And, you know, everybody looked up to him.
Yeah, okay. He was a very, very kind man.
Did he have big feet?
Never looked at my papu's feet, but I'm assuming if he's 6'3", they weren't small.
Okay. Well, he was, they always, I think the family kidding is they called him Bigfoot or something. I don't know. I don't get it. But they're pointing him out. He's not exactly, was he sort of shy?
My papu?
Yeah.
I guess to a degree, because he was Albanian and, you know, his English was only so good.
I just got the feeling he's not quite willing to jump forward. That's kind of the thing I thought. Okay, he's not
very he was conservative to a degree.
Yeah, the girls are doing all the talking for him. He's just sitting there just kind of smiling kind of a thing.
That's in the kitchen too, John.
Yeah.
They did that in the kitchen, too, all the time.
What's that?
The girls did all the talking.
Yeah.
Judy, my mother, my Aunt Mary, all the time. Sometimes they'd switch over to Greek so we wouldn't understand what they were saying.
Don't you hate that? You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to learn another language so I can do that, find somebody else to talk to, and then just go, let's switch to Greek. We'll go to the code, okay? And then, and then you come back and they're all smiling at you and you go, we're screwed.
Yeah, you knew you were screwed if they switched over to Greek. It's like, oh, God, what do we do?
Yeah. It was funny when my dad had his stroke. He switched to Portuguese right in the midst of it. He was speaking Portuguese, and he hadn't spoke Portuguese for, what was it, probably 30 years.
We hadn't heard him speak. Woke it up, huh?
Yeah, but he actually was asking in Portuguese to go to the hospital. And so, you know, it was amazing stuff. I mean, the mind never forgets that stuff, you know. And, but he got his English back, but, his language was never the same. I'm trying to think of any last thing that they're just sort of pulling back. I'm not getting much more. I think they're fine with everything you're doing.
Okay.
They're mostly looking at your daughter and just going, yo, cool.
That's awesome.
Yo, cool.
Cassie will be glad to know that she has my mother's approval. That'll mean the world to her.
I think your mother wants to be in on the investigation and be part of it. So she wants her to investigate Grandma.
Okay.
So she's like insisting, you know, I want to be your first ghost.
So, I wouldn't be surprised. They were that close.
Yeah, so I just get this feeling. It's like, hey, you know, what am I, you know, kibbling bits here? So that's kind of the feeling. So, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you. I had a good time talking with you.
All right, Rebecca. Call back soon.
It. Oh, I will. Thank you, John.
Okay.
Hi, Rebecca. You got 2 minutes, John.
Two-minute warning. Crikey.
Yeah.
I'm becoming... Steve Irwin. I wonder how Steve Irwin is doing on the other side. I wonder if anybody's ever channeled Steve Irwin. I mean, I love that guy. He was so cool. And
why don't you do that?
You know, somebody should bring him through. You know, but you know, it was funny. A friend of mine on another show did a show, and somebody randomly called and asked to bring through Michael Jackson. And when she did that, it ended up becoming a major news story, and she ended up with all these people that hated her because she, they thought she was, you know, going up against the memory of Michael Jackson. It was terrible, you know, the way she got treated, and she didn't even start the whole thing. I mean, it just sort of happened, and the next thing she knows, she's being demonized for being this horrible person who, you know, was dishonoring Michael Jackson, and it was terrible. And so I'm a little careful with doing, you know, based on that story, with doing celebrities. You know, if he were to come through, it would be great. You know, all I know is when he died, when Steve Irwin passed, it was like the worst thing. Anyway, we got, I'll think about it. I'll see, maybe I can get him to come through for me privately and talk. I don't know. He'll say crikeys. Anyway, we got about 38 seconds left. I'll do the honors here. Beer Hunter, Beer Hunter, pass on 407 crikeys. Curious listener, hey, Beer A. Debbie Wells, hello, Debbie. We love you. And I won the Poke Fest. Earthbound Angel, Gerber Daisy TM, I guess 10-0-3-66, Heavenly Heather Heathen, JB 34, I cannot speak the words. Let's see, Jeannie Marie, Nancy Mom, my co-host, hello dear.
Hello.
And Rebecca Bryson and Vicky Lady. And that's it. We're out of here. See you next week.
Night, everybody.
Night, everybody. That was a good show.
It was.
Had a good time. It was a weird
show. It was great.
It's a weird energy. It was weird, but I tried. You know how it is.
You did well.
Well, you know, and that one caller who called in, you know, I was warned by Chris.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's still there. Hey, Chris, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
She picked up on it.
Yeah.
I'm here. Good job.
Were you happy tonight to hear of that problem?
I was already like PMing you, and then you were already all over it. So.
I mean, I saw that, and I went, uh-oh, I ain't going there. No, I'm not having my time wasted again. So, yeah, I think the word's going to get out. No, we have a network, and we talk amongst each other. So, but thank you for. Yeah, because I was on to her that night, and I thought, I'll play it out and see what this is all about. And then you gave me the second warning, and then I knew, okay. But,
you were right.
Weird energy.
Whatever happened to Tim? I thought Tim was supposed to be coming on with you.
He did not call, and I think he was probably tired because he's on. He probably had, I think sometimes Tim's kind of shy too, you know, so I was supposed to have him on a while back, and then I had a problem at home with Mom. And I had to cancel that show. And I'm just now, things are just stabilizing out here. So I'll definitely have him on another time, and we'll bring him on. Because I want to get back to doing some of the interview shows, but it's
just been,
you know, with Dad gone, it's been so tough, you know. And with the operations and then all the subsequent things that have gone on since Dad left us and everything. So it's been a bit of a rod, you know. I mean,
indeed.
But now, I mean, It's settling down, you know, so I'm getting back to doing regular shows. So it's good to be back on Fridays and you know, things are just kind of normal again.
Well, I can hardly wait to see the show tomorrow. I'm like, what my great luck that the show that you were on is on tomorrow afternoon here for me. So I'm pretty lucky about that. So that's cool.
Well,
perfect timing.
Yeah, tell me what you think. I hope you like it. You'll see me on for about all of maybe 3 minutes, you know, and you'll hear me saying we've been threatened repeatedly.
Wow.
Repeatedly.
There you go.
We've been threatened.
Well, it's just really sexy the way you say repeatedly.
It's excellent. We've been repeatedly.
That's funny.
Kill anybody today, Curly? Day ain't over yet.
Hey, John?
Yes, Nancy?
Rebecca's still on. She says, unmute me if you want.
Hi.
Oh, I love John.
Yeah.
Hi, Chris.
Hey.
Hi.
I really, really like you a lot, Chris. And I hate Chris quite a bit because she's such a good sister friend. Yep, I love her. Oop, I said it. Darn.
Yeah. Oh, you guys. Stop.
It's like a love fest, you know. It's a love fest. Crikeys.
Yeah.
Oh, crikeys. I like when I hear my voice. I really like it.
Hey, so yeah. John, like, yeah, why do you say, like, somebody should bring through Steve, or, like, why can you not send out your intent and request the spirit of Steve Irwin to show up at your digs and do an EVP session?
They're always haunting the outback, you know, and Steve Irwin and I were haunting alligators. There, you know.
Crikey!
And the women are like it when he says, oh, that's a big one. Okay, so anyway. Crikey, it's a big one. What? Anyway, I'll tell you, it's just like I said. I mean, I'm serious. When I say that, when you do celebrity readings, you have to be extremely careful. Like John Edward does them, but it's not a surprise reading, and it's pretty well known that he's with, like, family members who are bringing through that spirit. And then, yeah, there's a degree of permission about it, because it's so, you could be seen as literally intruding in on, you know, that family and doing that. One of the things when you do mediumship training, and I'm actually re-going through my course again, you know, because I believe in, you know, going back to fundamentals.
Yeah.
And you don't just take mediumship and then one course and I'm so good. You have to keep working at it, you know. And like I took a bit of a break, and it's like I have to go back now and pay my dues all over again, because you know I'm a bit rusty and I know it. And not only that, even if I was doing good, I'd still have to go back and do that, because I promised my teacher I would do this, and it's just fundamentals. You just keep going back over and over again.
I mean, you can't just change the oil once.
Yeah, it's absolutely, and it's like, and even in hauntings, I'll tell you, there's a similar paradigm. People like come in and they'll have a haunt in their house, and they'll go, I got a ghost, you know, and people, you know, they'll call in an investigator group, and someone with some training will walk in and go, oh, we need to sage the room, and they think that's it, that one time. No, you have to sage the room over and over again, and you have to make it a target that is so hardened that no spirit in their right mind is going to want to be within a country mile of that place. And that's what you do, you know. Now, like tonight, I saged, but I lightly saged, because I did want spirit in, but I wanted to just clear any negative energies out of the room, because I have not been in here for 7-8 months now. So this is my first time in Studio B. And that's probably why I had some of the confused energy and the knocking, because something was definitely, I think I kicked something out, and that's what I heard, you know. But, you know, that's, yeah, crocky.
You're like, thanks a lot, you kicked me out, you bastard.
I mean, we've had, it's funny, I had a producer from, what show? I'm trying to remember the name of the show. It's a paranormal something on Sci-Fi called, was writing me. And they were asking me about cases, and I brought up one where we had something follow us back from Preston Castle, and that's been on Ghost Adventures and some other.
Yes,
other
I've stories. Seen that one.
Yeah, well, we were there in 2009. Me and a bunch of members of my team, including some who are still with us, and. I walked in there. I got 10 feet in and went, "This is. I shouldn't have done this." And I had a bad feeling. I went through with it, and we had about 4 other team members who went with us. And what ended up happening was we all got followed, except for one team member. And I heard walking around my house the night I got home. I kept hearing a walking, and I kept hearing a male muttering. And then my mother. The next day, I go up to the house, and my mother's standing there looking at me, you know, totally freaked out. And I go, "What's going on?" She goes, "I was attacked last night." And I go, "What?" And she was pinned to the bed by this black shadow, and pinned her for 4 minutes. And so finally, she get, you know, my mother is Scottish Islander, she suddenly got her gumption up, and she rose up out of that bed. She basically threw it off her, and ordered it out of the house in the name of God, and it didn't like that. It just stood there a long time, and then it finally left. And we ended up having to do protective measures on the property to deal with this. And I went to some friends who know how to handle these things. And one by one, I was getting calls afterwards from all the team members. And you know, that, and these things do follow you. I mean, they can Especially, you know, if you go into asylums, prisons, which this mm-hmm. was, you know, it used to be a boys' reformatory. There are places that have these kinds of problems, and what's funny is, I mean, I walked into there that on that investigation, and I picked up the name of a guy. I can't remember his name. I think it started with like a W, Willard. And
sounds
I picked
about
up
right.
Willard. And I turned to the docent that was with me, and I said, "I got the name Willard. What's that about?" And she just looked in shock, and she goes, "That's the name of the medium who came in 10 minutes ahead of you." And
wow.
she goes, "I know you're
oh,
here."
Wow.
I looked and went, "Okay." And so she takes me to meet Willard. I get up there. I meet Willard. He takes one look at me, gives me the once over, and he goes, "They hate you." I looked at,
oh my goodness!
I'm just really pissed off at this guy. You know, I don't know who he is. I don't, you know, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Who are you? You know, so
yeah.
I was angry as hell, and I thought, I don't want to talk to you. You're an idiot. You know, and you know, medium to medium. You know, if a spirit's got a problem with another medium, I'm going to say it nicely. I'm not going to walk up and go, you, mm-hmm. you know. And, I mean, that colored the rest of my night. But then I pick up on how the woman was killed there. I think her name was Anna something. Anna. I can't remember the last name. But she was killed in there. And I was shown how she was killed. And two men carried her down to hide her body. And that's what
wow.
I picked up on.
Oh, my.
And we were, like, moving around in the dark. So the docents were taking us all over. And I got confused. I didn't know what room I was in. And we sat down and did, like, some meditation. And they knew I was a medium, so they had me sit there, and I didn't know what room I was in. I picked up what I thought was a boy, and I said, "This looks like a boy's body, but the head's all bashed in, and I don't get this." And suddenly I go, you know, because I didn't know exactly how they killed her. I thought they throttled her, you know, choked her to death or whatever. And they go, no, John, her head was bashed in, and it was her, and you're in the room where they found her body. And then I, you know, they shine the light, and I look, and I go, oh, my God.
Wow,
and
God.
I think I really pissed off whatever this was, because it followed the entire team, you know, and we had trouble for quite some time. Now, anyway, I get contacted by this, you know, just years later, I get contacted by this show, and, you know, same thing is happening, you know. There's this back and forth stuff going on. So I don't know what, you know, I don't think it's going to pan out. That's why I'm talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting how the whole process works. You know, they'll hear stories about what these paranormal teams are doing. And, you know, and it's like, you never know which one's going to be interested in the story you have. So, you know, just be, you know, if your daughter gets into this stuff, seriously, you know, my advice is if she wants to, she should record everything that happens, because you never mm-hmm. know what might get on the air and what she might find interesting that other people would be interested in hearing about.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
oh, wow.
See, this paranormal investigation is wonderful stuff. It's not all there is, because mediumship is a whole other element. But, you know, it's a very high calling when you can go in and do paranormal investigation, and then you find a spirit that needs help, and you help them, you know, or
yeah.
you help a family come to terms with the death, and this other person that's been trapped can move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very high calling. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see where your daughter takes it.
Well, and she has a good heart, too, and a very helping, you know, she's a very helping person.
Yeah.
Whatever reason, they answered, you know, she asked questions and they got EVP answers back, you know, after she asked them, and they're like, "Wow, well, we're going to keep you then."
Yeah, I think there's a lot more to it than that. I think that we're still on stream, so the program's still recording, by the way.
Oh, yeah, well, you can edit it later.
No, because what I'm going to say now is, I mean, I really feel she's got great ability, and she's got the gift to be able to do these things. And she's heading in a direction that I think will basically the rest of her life, this will be part of it.
Good for her.
So, you know, just she should write down. I'm getting it. She should write everything down.
Okay.
You know, and kind of keep a logbook of everything that she's going through, because I feel like book writing energy with her.
Okay. Yeah, she does write, actually.
Yeah.
Funny that you say that, because she just edited a script for someone, and the movie's starting to be filmed in October.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's an independent movie.
I,
yep.
Yeah, I just feel like she could have a career doing this if she wanted to, and it would be an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Where are you guys based out of?
I live in Massachusetts, but she's in Tennessee. But, you know, I keep telling her, you know, I understand you get this mundane job that you can't stand right now, but you know what? Just a little bit longer, I says, but follow your passion. You know, and when the movie comes up, you know, and I said, you got good things coming, but if you know, because she's like, but I'm afraid that if I leave this job, what happens if I said, don't worry about it. It'll all be taken care of if you just follow your passion. It's what you want to do. It's what you feel you need to do. And you get excited about it. It's like, this is your life. You know, this is your one life to just do what you want to do, you know, and enjoy it.
And tell her to watch out for that. Sorry, just tell her to watch out. I'll talk to you maybe offline, but tell her to watch out for that guy, because that guy that's been my trouble lately.
That guy, yeah. She and I need to talk about him.
Because there's a warning out around the paranormal community that he's quite a stalker kind of guy and harassing a lot of paranormal teams, and that's the area he's from.
Yeah, well, you know what? He hasn't met her mother yet. Poor guy.
Yeah. You know. So anyway, I'll give you his name. You can do all the Googling yourself. I'm tired of passing along all the investigative stuff on this guy, but he is a piece of work, and be careful around that guy.
Yeah, okay. You and I can talk Skype about it later, Chris.
Yeah, I was aboard USS Hornet, and I met somebody who is a very famous woman in the paranormal, and I happened to be I was sitting next to her and a chip coffee, and she was talking about this stalker was messing with her and decided to follow her kids to school. And
oh,
she offered
God.
Eat face to a pulp, into a living pulp.
That would be my middle daughter. I could see my middle daughter going down there and go, what? You're messing with my sister? I don't think so, bitch. And then the next thing you know, the guy would be pummeled to the ground.
Yeah, I heard that, and I started to laugh, and she looked at me, and she goes, no, I was going to kill him. And I was like, yeah, I believe it. I wouldn't want to piss you off, you know, I mean, you scare me, I mean, you know, but it was great. I mean, you know, the thing is, you know, with fame and fortune comes these things, you know, when you start having, and paranormal people, we got kind of a, even when you're not well-known in the public eye, when you're local, you're kind of a local celebrity, whether you like it or not. You know, and, you know, so, yeah, you get these people, you know, and they don't have anything else to do in their lives, so they decide to mess with you, you know. I had a problem here on BTR for a while with someone who was really just taking me through just leaps and bounds of trouble, and finally it got resolved, but, God, you know, what the hell, you know.
I'm a good aim.
What's that?
I said, I'm a good aim. You know, with a shotgun.
You'll be on my team. I need a Massachusetts chapter. Yeah, we can work that out.
We can talk about that.
Yes, Chris, I know who you're talking about. And if he comes to my show again, he's getting ejected. Yes, matter of fact, I'm glad you wrote it. I'm putting that down on my blacklist.
Yeah,
thank you.
That person.
Yeah, because if he shows up again, I'm going to send him a letter and talk to Blog Talk about him. And let it be known that he's not going to get anywhere near my show again. Because, he came in and started some stuff last time that I became aware of. I will be taking care of his
little... He's got some bad energy following him around, like, seriously.
and if his lips are moving, you know, like, here, I'm going to send you through just one link here. Because this one's funny, because this is the only thing we haven't heard him tell us on BTR. And is about being a paraplegic, and it's all like every one of these pictures that he shows is him standing, rock climbing, everything else like this. And here's a post of him, claiming to be paraplegic. You have to expand that last post.
That
you know,
go with
whole,
his grandfather being a Cherokee princess.
Oh, the whole everything, everybody, like really, guys, you know. But I'm just trying to say. But what I wouldn't care, like a liar's a liar's a liar, but, you know, like because there's been a number of different paranormal teams that have Facebook posts out about this person and all of this kind of stuff. Like, there's been harassments, threats, alleged, okay, but nonetheless, you know, and one person's claiming that they filed complaints with the police, and there's been investigations done, and like, I mean, I've spent some time looking around, and outside of even the Blog Talk community, outside of the paranormal community, like, this guy tends to go off on people publicly. You know, puts complaints about doctors denying him meds, and like the it doesn't end. It's just a twisted myriad of twisted lies, you know, and it's disgraceful.
Yeah, well, there's people out there. I mean, I've run into my share just doing the show, you know, since what, 2010, early 2010, when we really got rolling with this whole extravaganza. And I had one that based out of Texas, it was just giving me nothing but fits, and then just sicked all these other crazies on me. And it really was a real experience. I mean, and there was no logic to it. You know,
they're sociopaths.
No matter what you did, you couldn't make it work in your head why you're the one being picked on. You know, so.
Yeah, well, but he goes around and he's got a lot of people tricked that he's the guy being picked on.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
and like he went into a show earlier today, and he comes in with this, "I'm here to listen to the show, no negative energy, blah blah," and like, I know he's saying that like to direct that at me, and like everybody's ignoring him, and then after I leave the room, he's all like, "Oh well, blah blah blah, everybody hates me. Well, what did you say I said? Tell me what I said. I didn't say nothing, and I've been in it." And it's like, oh, which log do you want? Because it's all
well, you know,
this
is why.
It's like, go see your mama and get your Pampers changed, dude.
I've wanted to for a long time. Blog Talk have the rights for the show host to permanently ban profiles and to be able to turn off guests in the chat room.
Yes.
I think it would be.
Speaking of which, you have one in there, hey? Dang.
Yeah.
That's probably him.
Yeah. Oh, really? Do we have one here?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if he's not on the phone,
no, he'll see the chat room. I should have paid attention. No, I mean, I'm not saying anything that's not out there on the internet, and I'll stand by it. I'm not looking for a fight, but this guy's chased me around BTR, poking sticks at me, trying to make me look like the lunatic, you know. And right after your show, John, last week, he went and posted a nasty post on my Facebook page, and then he told me not to talk to him ever, and yet he's been the guy running around saying hi Chris, and you know, he got me muted at Hazel's show.
How the saying goes, you can only poke at a bear so many times before you get mauled to death.
I use the dog analogy because Buddy thinks he's a bear, and like that's my point is, you know, I don't take the first shot, and I usually even let somebody get a few shots in on me, but there does come a point, you know, when I'm not going to put up with it anymore, and I reach point.
You know what I did on my little problem? It kept on showing up on other people's shows, and the show, and this was another show host that was doing this, and I researched the location that this person was in, and I checked out what defamation laws there were, and I found out that in small claims court, up to, it depends on the state, but if you go in and you can show defamation. And I had recorded, you know, clipped some of the recordings, you know, and had them, you know, and they were provable that they came from Blog Talk. Mm-hmm. I was going to go to, I was willing to travel to this state, file a defamation suit that would be in this small claims court up to almost the limit and cost that much. And all I had to do was say that, and it ended it. I mean, it was done. I just said, this is how it is. If you keep this up, this is where we're going. I'm already set to make the travel out there. I'll drive out there, and I will spend a week. And the next thing you know, you're going to be owing me money. So where do you want to go with this? And problem solved. You know, and because they found out, it was like, I was right. You know, but I mean, some people, though, you know, you can't get rid of. And what I really find objectionable is that we're not being given the tools we need to defend ourselves. I mean, I love Blog Talk to death. I mean, don't get me wrong. But I've talked to John about it, and you know who I mean, John, about it a number of times, and said, you know, you're leaving us out there without protections, you know, and we end up with these idiots coming in. And so I just I don't know, but I'm going to watch the one thing.
Well, this guy does three shows under three different names every day, and he's got so many different names that it's even hard to keep track of, but. But I believe that he's got three shows going right now because there's probably been you pay and then you get one month free. Mm-hmm. So he probably opened up three accounts so that he could get, 3 months free. Like, it's just crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And he does have people fooled. And that'll be up to them to find out. But, you know, I only had to listen to his first show for a half an hour. And I caught him in like two or three lies. Plus, he's the guy that gave me the name right on his own show. He was making an apology to this Cindy Liddick from some hospital. And Doug Dishroon from Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. And all he had to do was say that on his thing. And because he keeps on beating up on people, then apologizing. So I went and I Googled their names and poof, came up with all these other paranormal teams, from around on Facebook that are all posting and cross-posting warnings about this guy. And he's called every one of their teams using all kinds of different names. And
Unbelievable. Sounds a little out of control.
He is out of control. Well, something just really banged out there. Go ahead and keep talking.
That is good here.
Now we got major.
Now we got echo.
Yeah. That's better. He just muted his mic, so we're better. Let's talk a lot. Yeah. Okay. Sure talks a lot, eh?
Now we can talk a lot, yeah.
I don't really like a liar's a liar. Like this other woman or whatever that's calling and that, like this is one thing alerted. I don't spend a lot of time on that person, but this guy personally has started to come after me. So when somebody has pushed me that far, and it was after he went and posted this borderline threat on my Facebook, that's when I said, okay, that's enough, and I started investigating my own, and I found out all this stuff, you know. Otherwise, I couldn't care less, but, you know, when you're going to come after me personally, then I'll spend the time to investigate you.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, and that's why sometimes I'd like to go and check out different shows on Blog Talk, but I never know who really is the host. I really don't know, you know, and I'll go in as a guest and just pop in because I don't want them to know who I am because I don't know exactly who they are, you know, and I kind of like follow who you guys see because I figure that's pretty safe. So I'm trying to follow that and stay, you know, in a safe place there. But I have a question, John. Okay, I just recalled something, and I want to just run it past you really fast. When I used to live in Oakland, and I lived in this fourplex, and we lived downstairs, and these two ladies lived upstairs, and every time they left, because I could hear them coming down the stairs to go out the door to leave, I could hear furniture moving around upstairs, and I can hear like two sets of footsteps. One was quick and light, and the other one was heavier, kind of a slower shuffle. And in my mind's eye, I got an image of a little girl with dark, long, curly hair, pink dress, and those Mary Jane shoes, and those little pink anklets. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was an older man, kind of a grandpa guy with grayish hair, kind of receding hairline or balding at the top, wearing like a dark brown or grayish kind of suit, you know, the kind with the baggy pants and the loose jacket. Maybe it just didn't fit him well, but and like very well worn.
And you just blew my mind, because as you started talking about it, it's like a child and an old man.
You know, that's weird, because I hadn't thought about this in probably 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I always wanted to know who those people might be.
I'm not sure how to respond to it, because I'm not picking up anything with them. I feel like that's still going on. I mean, if I had to, I feel like that they're not crossed. It could be one of two things. I mean, because I'm just not getting much with it. It could be residual, which, you know, playback phenomena, which a medium is not going to be able to, other than walking in and sensing some things in a local environment. Mm-hmm. But what I'm not, you know, what I'm just not getting much with it. I feel like it's playback. I think the spirits are fully crossed. I just don't see that being a anything other than just an unintelligent playback,
like an imprint. Yeah,
it's an imprint, yeah. And it's the energy of the place. The only thing I can say is whatever was going on up there wasn't normal. And
you mean like he was a dirty old man?
No, I'm not getting it like that. I feel like if I had to pin anything, what I'm getting from my guides about it is just illness.
Jingle bell.
Okay, she's trying to read. He's trying to read.
Sorry.
I know, I'm bad too.
Every Christmas music. I turned that on, and I never thought about that I was going to do the show in here until I, like, wait a minute.
Nancy, what was the address on that again?
Where I used to live?
Yeah.
Where this happened?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, like I said, this is 40 years ago. I think it was 4216 Gilbert Street in Oakland. I was downstairs. This sound came from upstairs. Every time the two ladies left, then I would hear this, and it was like this little girl was running and laughing, and this guy was, it's like moving furniture, like I could hear something heavy being moved,
like a chair. Was it the same all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much the definition of it. Is it a place that still exists? I mean, it should still be.
I was going to Google it.
You might want to see, you know, if it's possible to write and find out from whoever's living there if they're still having it. Because I would tend to think it would still be somewhat happening. You know,
I was wondering if this was related or hooked into the two people that did live upstairs, because why did it happen when they left? Now, other people lived above there before me, I mean, while I was there, and I never had that, except when these two ladies lived there. I forgot what the blonde lady's name was, but the other lady's name was Maria.
Oh,
and she was.
I'm looking at the house right now on Google Earth. Oh, sorry to interrupt you, John. The house has like a Mexican kind of feel to it, like a southwestern design or Italian.
Yeah.
Just the sounds of it. It's funny because I lived in for a whole summer, I was basically sentenced to my family haunt. When I was out of control at age 17, my mother decided to teach me a lesson and put me in the haunted summer house for by myself, 80 miles from home, taking care of the place. I was hired to take care of it. And nothing will shape a young man up quicker than to find himself in with his dead relatives to scare the crap out of it.
Yeah.
I I had a
I'd rather be with my dead relatives than my live ones, but anyway.
You're 17 and you go into, you know, there's playback phenomena going on, and you're pretty freaked out about that, but then the intelligence stuff starts happening where you're laying in bed and you watch as the covers move and something gets into bed with you. That's really cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I look at it though, and other people would go up there and it wouldn't have things happen, you know, and it was generally people that were like, you know, not really close family members, but then you'd have, you know, but different people would go in and different things would happen. And in my case, it was like they stepped in and stuff happened. And I would say that these two women, whatever they were about, seemed to stimulate this activity. I don't know if they were relatives or if there was some connection there or just the energy they had, but it's not unusual that you'll have different people, you know, experiencing a haunt differently, you know, and energies being shifted by whatever it is they're doing differently than other families. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's all that unusual.
Nancy, I put a
if it was the same every time, that's the part that really gets me. If it was the same every time, you know, I mean, spirits have lives too, and they can be pretty variable. They probably have routines, but if it's a sound that's almost the same every time, I don't know, you know. It just sort of meets that definition of residual.
Yeah, right. Gotcha. I put up a link to a picture in the chat room.
What?
Of the house.
Of the house?
Let me know if that's the one.
Let me pull that up here. That looks friggin' haunted.
It did. When I looked at it, I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Early Mexican or Italian kind of thing. You know, it's just, and it almost felt like at some point it was like used like a church or something.
As your face, as you're looking at the front of it, I lived on the left side down on the bottom.
Hmm. And that's which one, the house on the right or the house in the middle?
The pink one.
The pink one.
The pink
with
one
the
on
four
the right.
Big windows, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
pink door.
That looks it looks like the friggin' Alamo, I mean.
Yeah, that's why I got this like Mexican feeling to it, or some southwestern.
Yeah, Spanish. Yeah, kind of a Spanish, Spanish influence.
It was so neat because, like, in one of the rooms that, well, we called it the dining room, but it had a Murphy bed, the kind that, you know, our whole wall would swivel. One section of the wall, an 8-foot section of the wall, would swivel, and on the back side of it was a Murphy bed that came down, but also behind there was this. This big old closet and stuff. It was really kind of, I love that, you know.
Yeah,
but, and the people lived above me. And then they would come down to that door. There was like there was staircases that went from the upstairs flats down the middle of the building to get them through the bottom door so they could exit. And as soon as I'd hear them go down the stairs, and as soon as that door would close, bingo, furniture started moving and people started walking.
Yeah, it could be, if I had to go down the middle, I mean, with it, I would say residual, definitely a component residual, but there might be an intelligent thing going on with it. I mean, it's because sometimes people
I can understand what you're saying because, you know, like you said, it was repeating. It was the same thing every single time. Although I think that the ladies that lived upstairs, especially this lady named Maria, because she was Hispanic. And I mentioned one time off the wall, kind of like in an offhanded manner, because I didn't want to freak her out. I said, did you guys leave, or did you guys come back, or whatever? And she got this scared look in her eyes. Why? And I says, oh, well, if you didn't come back, then it was the people on the other side.
I just heard a door slam, you know, and I just wrote it off like that. I didn't tell her I heard furniture moving. And then she kind of calmed down, but she got this wild look in her eyes and went, holy cow.
Well, you know, there's in their community, in, you know, Latino communities, I mean, there's, I think, I know, I'm probably going to get eviscerated for saying this wrong, but they have what I believe in the Mexican view of something called, it's like a witch, but it's a bruja or brujia. I don't remember the name. I don't know the name exactly right, but it was something along those lines. And people who, people could be cursed and all the, it's similar to voodoo in some ways. And they have a real strong belief system about these things. And, you know, that...
Is that like the Santeria?
Yeah, it's like Santeria, and it's similar, it has some similarities to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just the sense I have it of it, of this is, though, it's like whatever it is, it's tied to them and them alone, you know, and... And if she probably knew about it, you bringing that up, it definitely, you know, they had an awareness of the whole thing. It's just, if I had to really pin it, I think that they were into more things than they ever let on.
It could be.
Yeah. Mm. So it could be that they were practicing some of this and might have had some things that were going on with them.
Hey,
know,
Nancy.
Yeah.
Any of these names ring a bell? Jean Lucchesi or Laura Martinez?
Laura Martinez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a name associated with that house. Laura Martinez and Anthony Martinez.
Okay, maybe they own it. See, because I knew the former owners. When I lived there, the former owners were like in-laws of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And... I don't know how long they held on to that property after we moved out of there, but I mean, I was in there from like June 1969 to 1971. And the people that lived upstairs from me during this activity, they weren't there the whole time. But when they left, then I never heard the stuff moving around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty good evidence right there. I mean, if it was, you know,
attached to them.
Yeah, it could be. You can have a residual haunt attached to you. You know, it doesn't have to be a place. It can be attached to a person, and it goes wherever they go. But I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think there was some intelligent activity with it. Something. Just whatever they were doing seemed like one of them in particular seemed to have the problem, you know. So whatever she was into, you know, she caused it, you know, or brought it on herself. So,
you know, the funny thing about it is for years I've tried to remember. I knew that was Gilbert Street. But for years, because it's been so long, I could not remember the house number, and I never pursued it. And I can't believe that it just rolled off my tongue like that a little while ago.
Well, isn't that funny how that happened?
Yeah, it sure is.
Follow it up. See, try to follow it up and see what happens.
You know,
if maybe just go there and ask people, is there any unusual activity happening there? You know?
I wish I'd have known you guys way back then, because I would have had you guys come over. Because now I'm remembering some of these things about this apartment. In the dining room, there was one of those old telephones on the wall that had that bell-shaped earpiece that you had to hang up on the thingy, and the little mouthpiece you had to talk into.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, if I was more aware back then, and everybody was aware back then. If some of you guys might have been old enough, because I know how old I am, and I'm older than all of you.
I was at 9 years old with, I was still using BB guns.
See.
Yeah, see. I couldn't drive back then. It was would have been a really bad investigation. Thing.
40 years ago.
I guess so.
Yeah, it was only 12, I think.
His mental image is not working. And but
mind
I
you, children are more. Children are usually more connected.
They are.
You know.
They are. They haven't had all these filters imposed on them,
yeah.
You know?
I was having haunts from age five. I was seeing stuff. I remember my first experience. I saw a bunch of twinkly lights that would come out, and I found it was in Roseville, and I would see these lights, and I would laugh and laugh and laugh, and it would play around me. And I found out subsequently that that property was right on top of a Maidu Indian burial ground. So, we would find all these Indian arrowheads and things like that. But I actually had been at birth. I had damage to my vocal centers of my brain, so I had to go through speech therapy for 9 years to learn how to talk. And I had the feeling that whatever was taken away, they gave me back some other capabilities, like and took what already was the family gift and jumped it a little bit to give it a little more juice. And it was just funny because I always felt like whatever these spirits were kind of knew that about me and kind of cut me some slack and played around with me. And it really was an interesting introduction to all that. And then I would just. Every 2 years, I'd have a new set of things that would happen, I was having, I'd seen spirits. I started hearing them when I was in my teenage years. I thought I was losing it, until I talked to my mother. And she's like, goes, no, you're not nuts. We were fishing, and I kept on hearing, I'd hear my voice being called on the river, John! We'd be fishing for trout. I'd be like, I'd turn around and go, what? And there'd be nobody there, and I'd be going, what the f*** is going on?
The fish are talking.
Fish whisperer.
That's funny.
Talking to me. So I finally look at her and go, so you ever hear any voices on the river? And she looks at me a lot of time and she goes, what's going on? I finally tell her everything that happened, I had to fess up, and she goes, oh, that's just dead relatives talking to you. It happens all the time. I'm like, really? And she goes, yeah.
Okay.
Happens to me. And I'll be like, okay. How many of them are following me right now? I was pretty freaked out at that point. And she's like, and she says, sometimes it's explainable stuff like the river, the sounds of the river are doing things, but sometimes the way the water sounds causes it. And she was saying without knowing it that she was talking about white noise theory, that the river can create the conditions that you will then hear the spirit voices with. And I would hear relatives, that had passed. I'd hear their voices, people I knew who were dead. And it was freaky. I mean, you would say, what? and finally, I went into denial through my 20s and went, none of this is real. It's all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into denial until I had my heart attack at 28, and then I went to the other side, and then I came back, and I got convinced.
And they said, what do we have to do to make you know that this is okay?
No
more heart attack.
Yeah, going outside my body. That got my attention. After that, I believed. And after that, it was a rock'em sock'em experience. And, it's never continuous. Your development process is never, it's not like a constant line up or flat. It goes through wild oscillations, and it's like this last year, with Dad dying and everything. It's been, so much development happened, and now, and for a while, I kind of dipped there. And now back up, just going crazy with all kinds of experience. So, this happens for everybody, I wouldn't trade in my experiences for anything because it makes you a better person. You just have to pay attention to it, So, hey guys, it is getting late. And
indeed. Poor Rebecca, it's like 3:17 a.m. for Rebecca.
I know, but I'm just like... so wired because these are my favorite conversations.
Yeah.
Especially when it
comes.
What time is it for you, Chris?
It's only 1:18 a.m. for me.
3:18 here.
Oh.
Hey, I have a quick question before we all say goodbye. Why is it I always hear from my mother's side of the family and I never hear from my dad's side?
Do you actually let's put it this way, do you actually speak out to them? Do you actually talk to them at all?
My dad's side of the family?
Yeah.
Like, for real in real life or the dead ones?
Do you talk to the people who passed? Do you actually reach out to them and to talk to them?
No, so I suppose I should.
There you go.
That was a hard one.
Reach out and touch someone. Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
I'll give you a little story. My father was having seizures in 2009 that were so bad that it was getting to the point where we were just scared all the time. And my grandfather had passed away in the early 1960s, and he was a very well-known, if not famous, neurosurgeon. And Grandpa did brain surgery techniques that, you know, were pioneer for the day, and there's parts of them still used. You know, he figured out things that no one had ever done before. And so I knew if anybody knew how to deal with an injury like my father's with a terrible stroke and mm-hmm. seizures, it would be my grandfather. And I was looking for an early warning system, anything, because we would never know when we were going to get hit with this. It was always on edge. So I went to my grandfather's picture, and I never really had talked much to the Almada side of the family in life or in death. And I went to Grandpa and I said, look, you know, this is your son. I'm your grandson. I hate to bother you because I know you're on the other side, but we're in trouble. And if there's anybody knows what to do, you're the guy. We need you. And whatever you can do to help us, it would be appreciated if you came in. Well, about a week later, my mother walks up to me and she goes, so, John. And I go, yeah, Mom. And she goes, so I'm seeing Doc around. Can you explain to me why Doc is here? I'm going to call Grandpa and she goes, why? And I go, because Grandpa would know what to do about a brain injury case. And she goes, that's brilliant. And I go, oh, yeah. I kind of got that feeling that, you know, if anybody would know what to do, Grandpa's would be there right there and he could figure out how to help us. Well, right after that, that's when we started having, before Dad would have a major aura, which precedes seizure, we would have all kinds of spirit activity right in our face. You know, it would be like unmistakable. And we were like completely going nuts. It was like, you know, what's going on? You know, and then we started getting a correlation. Oh, when they show up, this happens and this happens. So after about the third time, we started going, okay, the minute we see a bunch of spirits and we both compare notes and we agree, because it'd have to be, the control was both Mom and I had to see it. And we would see it on separate occasions. If that happened, then we'd go ahead and take him in. And invariably, every single time that happened, he was getting ready to go into some major medical thing. And so we would forestall it. And so we had help from the spirit world because we reached out and did that. Now, for what you're talking about, though, you know, I mean, it was sort of a dramatic example, but, you know,
a couple guests just jumped in, eh, John?
Yeah, just reach out, you know, just reach out and you'll get them to talk to you. You know, that's the big thing. So, yeah, I'm going to kick these guests. Just take care of that. There you go. Problem solving. I like that ability.
Isn't that cool? Kick button. See ya.
Yeah.
Get the boot.
But, if you don't hear from one side of the family, it's because generally you got to make that effort, you know, and then they'll, you know, what I would do is I'd find one of them that you have a particular interest in learning something from and then saying, I want to talk to you, and just go out and talk to them. Don't do a praying. Don't do that. Just reach, you know, wait till you're alone and, you know, nobody's around to laugh at you and just say, then say, I'd like to hear from you. Whatever means you can give to talk with me, fine. You know, if it's dreams, if it's, you know, through another medium, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But show an interest, and they'll show an interest back.
You know,
that's generally my experience with this.
All right. So, I'm going to do a little research on this house to you, Nancy.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Now that we get the picture, I put a front view also in the chat room,
head
on looking straight at it, if you
want. Okay.
I can save them to my computer, too, and send them to you.
Okay, I see it now, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a neat place.
it had a lot of character, and the backyard was really neat because the whole backyard was terraced. It was a property that was really cared for. And in the Martinez family, okay, I know, I'm trying to figure out who they are. No, the name's ringing a bell, but I don't know if it's ringing a bell for the same reason, Rebecca. So, anyway.
Well, I'm going to do some search on the property and everything and see what I can find out.
I wish we could. You could see the house that's to the right of that. That house was neat. I can't remember what number it was. How did these numbers go? Anyway, if you think about it, I will try and Google it. And that one was, like, beautiful.
The one to the right of it?
Yes.
On the same side of the road?
Yep.
The one with the woodwork at the top of it?
Yeah. Is it a dark brown?
Yes. Well, not. There's two houses down. There's a dark brown one. And then the one right next to it, after 40 years, you know, it's a lot of paint. It's like a cream color now, but there's like scroll work at the top of the house, like they used to do back in the early 1900s. Yeah. Late 1800s, yeah. And it's narrow and tall.
Yes.
Let me get you a
couple
screenshot.
Couple stories high.
There's a darn tree in the way, but you might recognize it. So hold on. Let me get this for you. Please stand by. As
Please stand by.
It looks pretty old.
Please stand by.
Yeah.
You could have houses with the wood at the top like that, and that would have been the Victorian period. Takes a minute for it to upload. I got so many things running on my computer right now, guys, it hasn't gone on short. Okay, here we go.
Streaks can't go on strike, so you don't pay. You don't pay.
I don't pay it enough. All right, let me put it in here. Go. See if that one's it.
Okay. Yes. It had a lot more trees around it. Yeah, it had a lot. It was a corner house. It had a lot more trees around it, and it was painted a darker brown, which didn't make it look ugly, but I thought it just, you know, it didn't, I don't like it this light color. It was a richer dark brown. It made it look nicer.
It had cedar shingles on it, probably, at the time, which puts it in the Victorian era. They used a lot of cedar shingles during that time.
And I think they had the shingles on the sides, too.
I'm getting a different view.
I've been shingles from Shingle Springs.
I know.
As long as it's the kind of shingles you get on your leg, you're doing good.
Yeah.
Those hurt. I had the shingles once. Those suck. They burn.
I had it in 2006. It went into my eyes. I nearly went blind.
You had shingles in your eyes?
Yeah, I had the worst kind. It's called trimmingeal, and it went into my both eyes, and I ended up I was 4 months feeling like I had ice picks in my eyes, and I found out that fish oil tabs. I took 2,000 milligrams a day, and it seemed to cure it. I found a paper at Johns Hopkins that talked about a treatment, and I started it. I just did it myself because my doctor wasn't able to do much. And they'd arrested the virus, but the damage was done, and I was just, you know, I was having neuralgia at night and all kinds of stuff. And once I got that, and my ophthalmologist was a godsend. I mean, he was giving me other medicines for the eyes to keep everything running, and I got through it. But, boy, 2006 was a bad year.
It was bad enough having it in my leg about 5 months ago. It felt like it was on fire. And it was red and irritated, and if heat touched it, I thought it felt like somebody was taking a poker out of iron, wherever they made iron, you know, and they
the thing,
or even a blacksmith shop, you know, the branding iron in the coke after it's been coked, and then and like like that.
Yeah, try it for 4 weeks. I couldn't sleep, and I would just lay at night, and I would just cry. That's all I would do.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Yeah, and I was off work for they were telling me I would have to take 4 months off work, and I was off work 3 weeks after I found the the medicine that worked. I mean, this and I ended up I started just going back to work 2 hours a day, then 4 hours, and then I finally worked up to 8. But it took about a year and a half to get over that.
Well, I guess there was a reason our grandparents took cod liver oil, eh?
Yeah, there's something to it. I mean, it rebuilt the sheathing and the nerves is what the way the paper described it. So I tried it. And after I did that, my family, the word got around.